morning, and welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, Big O'Brien.
Yeah. Let's see. Well, we'll do a little to catch a predator breakdown today. Favorite show back on. Norm MacDonald, one of my favorite guys. Super funny guy, nuts, addicted to many things, but super funny. John Leguizamo is going to be on the show. We will continue with our quest to replace Kyle in the phone screening department with hot Australian Fiona coming in to press the flesh with her. Well, let's see. Something I've been wanting to get to for like a week, but I just haven't been able to. I was watching CNN, I guess it was somewhere around the middle of last week, and I caught this, and as you know, this is a pet peeve of mine, but let's just hear the story, and then you'll know what I'm talking about.
Should seatbelts be required on school buses? The Transportation Department is considering it again. 25 million children take this school bus every day. 5 kids each year die in school bus accidents.
Should they do it? They have to consider it. I don't mind the part where they don't have the seatbelts in school buses. I don't mind that. I mind being beaten over the goddamn head to put my seatbelt on every 20 seconds. Every time I drive down the freeway, I pass the click it or ticket electronic freeway sign. It's nothing but click it or ticket. It's nothing but put your seatbelt on. So while I'm driving down the Ventura Freeway and I pass 45 things that say click it or ticket, the cigar tube behind me with the 59-year-olds possesses no seatbelts. So my whole thing is I don't want the kids to have seatbelts either, but please shut up. My car at least has an airbag in it. Your kid has another kid in front of that kid, hopefully a heavy-set kid, so that it can act as an airbag. Why we argue over whether we're going to put seatbelts in school buses seems like a bizarre thing when any objective person who came to this planet would say we are obsessed with seatbelts.
So, wait, which bothers you? That you have to click and ticket and they don't, or that they should?
Well, no. What bothers me is that they're bothering me. Obviously not interested in it. Well, not in any real way.
They don't care about the kids, but they care about you.
They don't appear to care about the kids.
It would seem like saying you should have a fire alarm in your house, but let's not put them in school.
Yes, and there are 50 of them in a thing with some chick who has cataracts and was probably drummed out of the service many years ago, who is driving the bus. Point is, look, just shut up with the click it or ticket. I'm aware I'm supposed to wear a seatbelt. We're just out of things to say, evidently. See, there's just these isms. You know when you talk to really stupid athletes and really stupid celebrities and they interview them after whatever, they did something really stupid and they go, well, I believe everything happens for a reason. And you go, shut up. That means nothing.
I get that a lot.
That means zero.
I've got two girls telling me that right now.
I believe everything happens for a reason. That's a zero answer. This is the government's version, the city's version of everything happens for a reason. This is just click it or ticket. Like, we don't know what to say, so we'll just tell you to put your seatbelt on. Who's ever going to argue with that?
Right.
Well, I mean, everything happens for a reason is a sort of hopeful but meaningful aphorism, whereas click it or ticket, putting on your seatbelt is probably a good idea.
Bald Brian, hop on that magical box that does the computations.
Computer? Computer?
That? I've heard
they
keep those at the places where they hide the books.
Right. They don't hide them there. It's where they will lend them to you.
Who's going to borrow a book? Get out of town, Bonaducci.
And then you bring them back.
Huh?
After you read them.
I bring them back. You know what I'd do if I went to that place, the library? I would go borrow the book, turn right around, hand it right back. Say, no, thank you, Bob Dixie. I got myself a little something called TiVo. I'm going to go read up on that. You have any books on TiVo? Well, then shine this noise. I'm going home to watch my TiVo box. That's what I want to do. I want to go to libraries and find out if they have books on TiVo.
Well, what do you want Brian to look up on the box with the keys?
Yes. When did it become a DOT, Department of Transportation, when did it become a mandate that all cars produced had to have a placard that lit up and an audible sound that went off when your seatbelt wasn't on? Because the point is,
this is really easy to find.
I can't get sarcastic on me.
No, I was actually really wondering if it took less words than that to look stuff up.
Yeah, I imagine it. I imagine it did. The point is it's been at least, let's see, where are we, 07? I'm going to say at least 25 years, and it's probably more like 35 or 40 years, since every car produced by law had a buzzer going off if you didn't have your seatbelt clicked as you motored down the highway. My car does. My car is a thing that blinks and buzzers. So what the F good is the sign doing us if inside of our car there's already a buzzer?
Right.
I mean, you could build 10 billion signs and put them every 4 feet. It wouldn't matter. I have a buzzer going off inside of my car. Thus, let's move on and put something else on that sign. Well, here's an idea. You can turn right on a red in California. There you go. All you a-holes that are piled up, not moving. And by the way, listen, when I shame you because I get in the left lane and go around you and just turn right in front of you, live with your shame, pussies.
Yeah.
You weren't going. I want to continue to where I'm going, so I went around your lazy ass. And the fact that I was able to turn right in front of you from the left lane means you probably could have turned right a half hour ago, but you're... You know, the noise in your head was too loud, or you're too busy trying to get at your own junk orally, and you decided not to turn right. Fine, you're a puss.
Right.
I'm not a puss. Here's what it is. You're either a puss, or you're asleep, or you're a sleeping puss. World's
don't put down a sleeping puss.
You are a napping puss. The point is I am awake.
I have a garden of those sleeping puss plants, and
they bloom about this time of year.
They're hardy.
Night blooming sleeping pusses. Here's the deal: I'm A, awake, and B, not a puss. Don't honk at me when I decide to go around your sleeping pussy ass and turn right. You have nodded off, or you don't know the law, or you're on the cell phone. Or whatever.
All of the above.
Your prerogative. I won't sit behind you and ride on the horn. I will get into the lane next to you and just turn in front of you.
I often sing the My Prerogative Bobby Brown song when doing that.
Yes.
Going around them. My prerogative.
It is pathetic, and the only thing more pathetic is when you get busted, I remind you of your pussitude, and you then honk the horn because I've shamed you. But you can turn right on a red in this city. We could move things along 10%. Not interested. Click it or ticket. That's all we have. That's all we have. I'm obsessed with this because I don't know if it's part of a sort of grand conspiracy that the people that run the city are in with Exxon and Shell Oil or Goodyear Tires or whatever it is to burn up more resources, or we're just that effing stupid.
Oh, I gotta pick stupid.
I'm going with stupid, too. I almost wish it was a conspiracy.
Yeah.
Because at least when there's a conspiracy, it's smart people with a plan versus stupid people just asleep at the wheel.
Right.
The people that aren't turning right are asleep at the wheel, and the people that aren't telling them it's okay to turn right on a red are asleep at the wheel. Bald Brian, anything at all?
Apparently, the first thing I could find is the first time there was any legislation was in 1974. The car wouldn't start if the seatbelt wasn't engaged. I can't find the chime yet. I'm still working on it.
Well, scant 33 years ago, I stand corrected. That's right,
people. The car wouldn't start?
Yeah, it was a short-lived thing. It was about a year or two that car makers were required to do. Apparently, the car wouldn't start if the seatbelt wasn't engaged. The ignition wouldn't go.
Right.
Wow.
Point is these placards, like, if you think back to, you know, your mom's car from the 70s, when she turned that key, there'd be a there'd be a little thing that went off. It's a Department of Transportation. It's not an option. You can't build a car or you cannot sell a car in this country without this. Thus, no need for the sign. So, these signs, these multi-million dollar signs, it's probably getting into the billions now because there's 1,000 of these multi-million dollar signs.
That never say anything, by the way.
Never say anything, and if they do, people slow down to read it, right. And once every 9 months, there's an Amber Alert. And other than that, it's click it or ticket or rat out your friends that are drunk driving. How about we use these signs to tell you to put some air in your tires or to turn right on a red or to focus or to motivate or to move it along.
Or marry me, Baggy.
Yeah. There you go.
Cute.
At least let's get some money back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have to pay for one of those.
Bonaducci wants to tie the knot with the new gal pal. It's going to cost him $5,000. We'll put it up on 10 of these things along the 101. You know that's the way.
Right.
Your girl goes to work every morning. Pow.
That's sweet.
That's sweet.
That is sweet.
And it pays for some of those places where they put the books.
Adopt a sign.
Adopt a sign. That's nice.
You know this.
Name it Bobby.
The liver. Damn it.
You're
liver.
So close.
Library.
Library.
The library. That's right.
Okay,
all right.
The country with the crazy guys in Libya. You've got a labia.
One day, I will be able to get the guy who does those signs on the phone. Now, the problem is I try to talk to these people from time to time, and they don't want to talk, and you wouldn't want to talk either.
No. If I had no backup plan, there's nothing I can do.
This is essentially a parent-teacher conference with a D student.
Right.
They're not looking forward to it. Bald Brian, anything. What do we got? Nothing. All right. Point is, since the 70s, they've made these things. Well, that was that one in 74.
But you figure they won't start your car.
The legislation started.
Other than Model A's, Model T's, and a handful of Packards, there's nothing on the road anymore that doesn't have one of these light-up plaques and a bell and a buzzer going off when the seatbelt is not engaged. So thus, don't need the sign. That's all I'm saying. Don't we want to move it along? Aren't the folks that run this place interested in doing that?
I know, but if it is a conspiracy, I would rather work for the guy successfully pulling off a conspiracy than the dumbass sitting at the red light when he could turn right.
I know.
I have much more appreciation for a guy pulling off a scam than I do for a guy falling for it.
Oh, no. I wish it was a conspiracy. And how about the dumb asses that are piled up behind the one dumbass? Although, I did do the go-round. I was out in Malibu a few weeks ago, and there was a long line of cars going back onto PCH in the right lane, and I did my, good Christ, same old thing. You got the one dumbass who's not turning right, doesn't know, and to be fair, it's not legal. Most of the people from California aren't from California.
Right. In Philadelphia, you can't do it.
Yeah, thus, not legal. Well, first off, half the people are from Mexico.
Right.
I don't know if things are legal or legal over there. I'm not sure, in fact, if they have laws. I sure as hell know they don't have libraries. The point is, they are scared. The guy, here's the deal. Half the people are from Mexico. They don't have insurance. Maybe they have a suspended license. Maybe they don't have a license at all. So when they get to the red light and they realize I have no proof of insurance in my glove box and I have no valid driver's license, I'm going to play it safe. I'll wait till the signal turns green. I don't know what the law is. I'm sure as hell not going to chance it and make a right. Then, because we're pee-whipped in this town, nobody honks. In New York, they would be on you in a hot second. In New York, if a guy's crossing, if a pedestrian's crossing in front of you and you're not going, they're honking. They're saying you should hit the bastard.
Right.
Here, we've all been trained. I don't know why, if it's gangbangers shooting out of their cars or what it is. We're all scared assless to honk. So we don't honk. So now there's one guy who doesn't know. He's at the front. And then there's 10 people behind him scared assless to honk. Well, then I am the guy who's not going to be the 12th guy stuck behind the guy. I go into the left lane and go around the whole pile and make my right. I did that 2 weeks ago. I was in Malibu. I said, not another jackass asleep at the wheel. Went in the left lane, started to turn. There was Ozzy, leader of the pack.
No.
Oswaldo, pickup truck that I co-signed for, sitting right there. Sitting right at the front of the thing, holding the entire thing up. And I realized, well, he's from Nicaragua. Probably had himself a DUI or two. If he got pulled over, it would ruin his, not day, possibly the next 6 months of his life.
Maybe more.
He ain't taking any chances, right. And I'll guarantee, look, he can't pronounce my name. I know he doesn't know what the law is. I know that 3/4 of the people, if you put a microphone in front of them and said true or false, it's legal to turn in Southern California, would have no goddamn idea.
I agree with you.
Don't we want to get the message out?
I think we do, don't
yeah,
you?
I do.
It doesn't behoove the city at all. Nobody. None of you idiots want to do that.
I'm sure it does behoove the city in some way to let people know the traffic laws, but isn't that what the DMV is for? They're just not doing their job.
Yeah, but nobody remembers 3/4 of the crap that's on that handbook test. You don't know if safe, you know, following distance is 200 feet, 300 feet, or 500 feet. You just do the furthest one. We don't know what most of that stuff in the handbook even says. I don't remember, and you ignore most of it because yeah. You're supposed to have, you know, 50 feet for every 10 miles an hour you're going. Well, if you can't leave 200 yards between you and the car in front of you driving in L.A., another car will just slide into that
You'd
spot.
You'd actually have to. I've thought about that one. You'd mm-hmm. actually have to travel in reverse.
Eventually, yeah. you would yeah. be going backward because yeah. of each car that slid Zipped in between in you and the bumper before you. I'm just saying, the signs are there to inform. They're not permanent signs that say Knott's Berry Farm. They're ever-changing signs. Put the information the people need and go ahead and throw it up on the sign, you retards. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. When we come back, ooh, the Emmy nominations.
Yeah, they happened this morning around 5:30.
They just came out, T.
Yeah.
Do you you got yourself a bead on that?
I sure do. Some of your favorite shows, some shows you hate. We'll talk about the nominations announced this morning by Kira Sedgwick and John Cryer.
Good times. We'll take ourselves a quick... Ooh, by the way... I love John Cryer. He's a really nice guy.
Seems nice.
Super nice guy. Lived literally across the street from me for a number of years.
Actually, no.
Him and his nutty wife got divorced.
Yeah, but I know his new wife.
Kathy Bates used to live in that house,
I know
by
that
the
too.
Way. I know, because Danny's looking at another house, which is right there. But the point is sweet guy, but Cryer and Sedgwick, who passed before they got to them? I don't want to be mean, but I know how this town works.
Well, look, you got to get up really early.
Right. But there is the list of people they hit before they got to Cryer and Sedgwick. Nobody said, who's going to read the nominations for the Emmys this year? And someone said, John Cryer and Kira Sedgwick. And they went, done and done.
I'm guessing Patrick Dempsey passed. McDreamy.
Very good.
Cast of Grey's Anatomy. No
all
can do.
All Grays passed. I'm guessing Selma Hayek, who produces Ugly Betty.
All the Desperate Housewives.
Passed. All the Desperate Housewives
yeah,
passed.
I mean,
anyone from 30 Rock
John,
passed.
I pray you're not listening, but I think I could get to about 400
Sopranos,
names.
Yeah. Sopranos all passed.
So I have some names on that list that are family members. My Uncle Vince, who lives
he
in Santa
no.
Monica,
no
said
can
no
do.
Can do. Doesn't get up that early. All right, we'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll get the answers to the Emmy nominations next.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. And now with his thoughts on this morning's show, our program director, Jack Silver.
Huge show today, peeps! We're going to talk about last night's To Catch a Predator with Chris Hansen! Oh, I totally met that guy in Reno! And Texas, Fresno, Long Beach, any number of pedophile hotspots! Also, actor John Leguizamo, comedian Norm MacDonald, the owner of the Moonlight Bunny Ranch, Dennis Hoff, and some chick's gonna come in and get a tattoo of Adam on her stomach. Hey, if she plays her cards right, she might end up with a little bit of the Jackman on her stomach too, if you know what I mean.
Thanks, Jack. 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Just when it sounds too good to be true, I get to throw in a Comic-Con fantasy getaway with me. That's right. We'll cruise into San Diego. Here's how this works. Just we'll do it real easy.
Is this Friday?
Yeah.
Come on.
No. This is, I will announce the winner on Friday tomorrow.
Ah.
And then we cruise in, I think, next weekend. I'm not sure about that, actually. I've got the date here somewhere. Anyway, here's all you got to do to get in on this is go to 971freefm.com, click on Danny's Comic-Con Fantasy Getaway. We were talking about these the other day. They're huge. And then just pray you win because this deal's going to be great. We'll check out all the NBC shows. And make sure you're listening to the Adam Carolla Show Friday morning when I announce the winner. And it's all powered by NBC and 97.1 Free FM, Southern California's talk station.
Well, speaking of NBC, just one of the many networks that was nominated. I imagine HBO took the lion's share of the nominations for the Emmys last night or early this morning, but I don't know. T, that's one thing we can get into. We'll break down who was nominated for what and what shows were nominated. But do we have the overall, you know, HBO got 86 nominations
and
CBS got whatever?
We're working on that, but I can tell you that The Sopranos, which is obviously, which aired on HBO, is the most nominated drama.
Mm-hmm.
So that points to lots of nominations for The Sopranos. Although, they also have, I don't know if you saw Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee.
I did not see it, although I saw many advertisements for it.
Me too. Well,
I actually remember sitting around watching the Wounded Knee thing happen.
I rented Bury My Knee at Wounded Groin.
Was that?
2 hours of just a guy putting his knee into someone's groin. Good stuff.
Really.
Yeah. Well, HBO's version got the most nominations of anything, 17 nominations.
Mm-hmm.
So between Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee and Sopranos, that's already 32 nominations.
Mm-hmm.
Not good at math.
Well, let's start at the start.
Let's take a listen. So this morning, very early, Kira Sedgwick and John Cryer, Kira from The Closer and John from Two and a Half Men, got together to announce this year's Primetime Emmy nominations. First, the category Best Drama.
The nominations in the drama series category are Boston Legal, Grey's Anatomy, Heroes, House, The Sopranos.
Yeah, good luck beating The Sopranos at anything.
I know.
They could be nominated as Best Musical, and they would win. There's no way. Well, first off, Sopranos would win anyway, especially up against, you know, Grey's Anatomy or what else was in that one? Was that Grey's Anatomy or am I thinking of, who am I thinking of? The chicks from Wisteria Lane over there.
Desperate Housewives.
Was that in that pile?
I don't believe so.
Or are they in
so.
The comedy? I wonder, it's weird. They're like a tweener show.
Yeah, they are.
Well, anyway, Sopranos would win anyway, but now they're really going to win because that's it. Let me ask this about Keir Sedgwick and Kevin Bacon. Thinnest-faced couple on the planet? Is there a couple with less facial fat than those two? I feel like Kevin Bacon's face, his head is so thin, I can see what he's thinking. I really, those two, is there a double, is there an extra chin between the two of them? Do you know what I'm saying?
They've got no extra parts. You can't build another chin out of them.
Now, here's the question. Have they toppled the reigning champions, which is Schwarzenegger and Maria Shriver?
Ooh.
Because those two have jaws that could, like, crush a yak's femur.
Yeah.
And just imagine how defined the faces of the children will be.
But I'm still thinking about crushing a yak's femur.
Look at Maria Shriver's jaw, and then look at Arnold's jaw. And those two are like, they're like snapping turtles.
See, yeah, you can't beat them.
I think
I'm surprised they don't kill each other sexually.
You don't know that they don't? It's just that I've looked at them before and I've made my jaw jokes. I just never, ever contemplated the breaking of a yak's femur.
Crushing.
I just wanted to take a minute to get that.
Thousands of pounds per square inch it takes to get through that bone.
It's a yak, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of femur.
This is
not just hyperbole on my part. This is clinically, this can be clinically backed up.
Yeah, all right, cool.
You want to find out who was nominated for lead actress in a drama?
Yeah.
Let's take a listen.
The nominations for lead actress in a drama series are Patricia Arquette, Medium.
Mm-hmm.
Minnie Driver, The Riches.
Hater.
Edie Falco, The Sopranos.
Winner.
Sally Field, Brothers and Sisters.
Loser.
Rishka Hargitay, Law and Order Special Victims Unit.
Don't know her.
Kira Sedgwick, The Closer.
Wait a minute. Is that too many?
I don't watch that show, so I don't know. Who is
you
that?
You feel like they added an extra?
Maybe they just tacked Kira Sedgwick on because she was standing there.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. Is there five in every category?
I believe so.
Was that more than five? Or did I just make that up? Brian, replay that. Let's see if we can figure out what we get to here.
The nominations for lead actress in a drama series are Patricia Arquette, Medium.
That's two.
Minnie Driver, The Riches. Edie Falco, The Sopranos. Sally Field, Brothers and Sisters. Rishka Hargitay, Law and Order Special Victims Unit. Kira Sedgwick, The Closer.
That's...
I don't watch that show.
Is that six? I just went through six.
Maybe some categories have six nominations?
Is that...
Six nominees?
Does that ever happen?
I don't know.
I thought it was five.
I thought it was supposed to be five, too.
But it doesn't sound like he was kidding, because she's standing right there.
Going, yeah, oh. It would be very funny. You know what? Right after this, we cut it, but right after this, John Cryer says, psych!
Yeah.
To Kira. Now, Kira is nominated.
I think that's six names he just rattled off there.
Maybe sometimes they have six nominees.
Yeah, I counted six. I'm
that would, that would blow go. Pretty hard if you were in the category where they decide to put six people instead of five, as if your chances weren't bad enough.
Yeah. You had, what, a 20% chance before?
You had 20, and now you're down to 15 or 18 or whatever the hell it is.
Well, how about comedies? We've been talking about dramas.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite show, Friday Night Lights, was snubbed.
Yeah.
Very sad.
In a certain way... Maybe it's better for the show to be to fall into the snub. You know, everyone can go, Friday Night Lights got screwed, man. They're great, you know, better than them being nominated and just losing to whoever.
Yeah, that's all true. Right. Best comedy. Let's hear the nominations.
Well, Kira, let's top off the announcements by bringing back Dick Askins to announce our final category.
Come on, Dick.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Surprise.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank
you. Some sort of
the nominations in the comedy series category are Entourage, The Office, 30 Rock, 2.5 Men, sorry, and Ugly Betty. And John, I have some special news for you.
Oh.
You've been nominated for an Emmy for Best Supporting Actor.
Psych. Yay.
Congratulations.
Yay. Thank you very much.
Two and a Half Men seems like the, you know, when you see the white guy in the 100-yard dash competition at the Olympics, there's always the super buff nine black dudes, and then there's the one white guy who represents one of the Baltic republics, and you go, yeah, it'll be fun watching this guy come in last. That's what Two and a Half Men feels like, sandwiched in between 30 Rock and, all the other great shows that are nominated in that category. I think, I think HBO is going to get the nod here again. Piven and Company.
Yeah, I would think so too.
Wow.
Although The Office is a strong contender.
True.
Piven and Company.
Piven and Company.
Wow. Piven and Company.
It's a strong represent.
Dylan
Piven.
And Company. Because I heard Piven and Dylan both got nominated this year. Or they're working on Entourage. And Piven, everyone knows about, but Dylan secretly is very funny in that show.
Absolutely. Let's hear about, do you want to hear Best Reality Competition Program?
Yeah.
That's always a fun category. Let's take a listen to this year's nominees for Best Reality.
And here are this year's nominees for Reality Competition Program. The Amazing Race. Mm-hmm. American Idol. Mm-hmm. Dancing with the Stars. Project Runway, and Top Chef.
Yeah, okay.
This Project Runway, first off, I don't know why. No.
Really good.
No. It is. First off, Heidi Klum is practically a zero. She's really hot.
Yeah.
She has a language barrier. She has two language barriers. One, she's from I don't know where. The next barrier is she's hot.
Right.
So even if she had a grasp on the English language, I don't think she'd be funny, compelling, or anything. She's just great to look at, but she's not very good. The other people on the show aren't very good. The best one on the show is the guy with the glasses, sort of the head gay on the show. He's only good because he's sandwiched in between two zeros.
Yeah, sure.
So he seems compelling. And then they do a lot of cutting and a lot of you've got 20 minutes left. You only have a little... flirty handful of chiffon, what are you going to do? And then there's a bunch of designers with personality disorders sort of catfighting. It's not a good show. You like the topic. And
I love
reality shows. And I'll watch this show just because I love reality shows. But it gets way too much hype. Klum is horrible in it. And the show's somewhere between 11 and 18 in the reality show competition. Now, The Great Race is a much better show.
You know what's weird is that if you go by, if you forget gender for a minute, and you go by a person known for their looks with a language barrier, you've got our governor.
Yes.
Which is kind of odd. It's kind of an odd thing.
Well, I would say Heidi Klum is awful, but they use her very sparingly. She's always shot from the back, and all of her comments are usually done in voiceover because they're not shooting her face.
Right.
You can tell that probably on set she flubs a lot, but they use her sparingly, and I like to see something being made. That's the fun part.
Yeah, but just a sort of, I don't know, dinner or cocktail dress just made out of a bed sheet. I mean, it's all right.
What
but
about
I
The
mean,
Deadliest Catch? You like that?
Yeah.
That got a nomination, yeah, for Outstanding Nonfiction Series. I don't know if it can beat its competitors Inside the Actor's Studio, Biography on A&E, American Masters on PBS, and Planet Earth on Discovery.
Uh-huh.
Oprah said that was the best show she'd ever seen.
Planet Earth.
Yeah.
And then she said,
because it revolves around me.
Beside my own show.
Should we hear one more?
Yeah, let's hear two more.
Okay, let's hear about actors. Who was nominated the lead actors this year in drama series?
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right.
The nominees for lead actor in a drama series are James Gandolfini, The Sopranos, Hugh Laurie, House, Dennis Leary, Rescue Me, James Spader, Boston Legal, Kiefer Sutherland, 24.
That is easily the strongest race, I think.
Yeah,
all of those are contenders.
Well, but Gandolfini is going to get it, hands down, no questions asked,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. I think he's going to win, but Hugh Laurie is great on House.
I mean, everyone is great in everything they do, but there's just no possible way anyone is going to win but Gandolfini,
in
right?
In any other year, any of these guys could win.
See, I would usually cast a vote for Kiefer just because catching him on a Tuesday night at midnight with his pants around his ankles at Dimples singing karaoke and doesn't know where he is, and having it together by Wednesday morning shoot for 24, I think deserves some kind of nod.
Mm-hmm.
So you've seen Kiefer in this.
I've seen Kiefer's Kiefer hanging out over his martini, and then get up, sing a song, be dragged out of the place, and he's at work apparently on time, a little bloated, next thing in the morning.
Yeah. Well, I would say that Spader's probably the darkest of the dark horses in that category. But Gandolfini, again, The Sopranos will win every year, even when it's not their last year.
Yeah.
Now that's their farewell tour. Right. That's it.
That's yeah.
It. Still worth it to everyone else in the category, because minus The Sopranos and a lot of these categories next year, this time next year, then everyone who's in the category now goes, hey, I got a fighting chance of winning this.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're, you know, Hugh Laurie or you're whoever in this category, do not count on winning anything.
I wouldn't even rent a tux.
I don't think they're writing speeches.
I wouldn't either. But this time next year, when you replace that one with some new show on CBS, some CSI, whatever, or something, then you can count on it.
Yeah. That is being a 27-year-old fighter and making your debut right as Muhammad Ali retires.
Right.
That's the essential.
I'll tell you this, though. Dennis Leary got nominated. And Adam, I've been trying to lure you into Rescue Me. This is a good year.
Something bothers me about that show, and I can't put my finger on it.
This is the first year I've made it one of my programs.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good.
All right.
I've heard it's good.
All right.
I want to be on it as more effed up brother.
We will.
We sound a lot alike. I smoke more than he does. I drank more than he ever thought of. I think I should be on it as more effed up brother.
We need to take ourselves a break, Brian.
I say something, 'cause I've been looking for this for the last 38 minutes of the show.
Yes, yes. Okay.
The Federal Motor Vehicle Safety Standard number 208 was installed in February 1975. 4 to 8 second tone is required in all vehicles.
Saying there's an audible buzzer that goes off when your car does not have the seatbelt engaged starting in 1975.
Correct.
All right. So it's been 32 years, people. I think we've gotten a message.
We got it.
And if you see any cars on the road that were there since before 1975, well, then maybe you have a point, but I haven't seen any in a while. We're not in Cuba, for Christ's sake. Speaking of Cuba, John Leguizamo, although I don't know if he's from Cuba.
I thought he was Puerto Rican.
Ah, same place. We'll take ourselves to another island we don't care about. We'll take a quick break. Be back with John Leguizamo next.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. New on Spike TV, The Kill Point, starring John Leguizamo.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is a bank robbery. Do not say a word or I will not hesitate to put a bullet in your brain. All right, this is now a hostage situation.
I'm Wolf, Mr. Wolf. This is all you need to understand, okay? I'm the guy with the gun. I'm the guy with the hostages.
John Leguizamo is on the Adam Carolla Show.
This time next year, we'll be talking about the Emmy nomination for this new show Leguizamo's working on.
I bet it wouldn't be his first.
In the
he
comedy department.
Emmy.
Oh, so. It does. Yes, yeah. John Leguizamo.
What's up?
Let me give you a tip of the hat for being rangy. Because John Leguizamo does very serious work, and then John Leguizamo does crazy, broad, dressed in drag, way over the top farcical humor.
I'm doing voices. I just do whatever I feel like doing is what I'm going to do.
That's kind of nice because most people don't have the talent. Everyone wants to do whatever they want to do,
well,
but
they don't have the balls.
Well, balls helps, but being able to do all the characters and having the talent to propel those characters helps as well.
Yeah, I tried to play a girl one time, and I don't know, something about my acting talent they just didn't really like.
No,
the voice, it's not the
I swear to God, it's just the voice.
He actually decided to punch someone who decided to play a girl one time. Too. The Kill Point is on Spike TV. Got a two-hour premiere Sunday, July 22nd. So that's coming up this Sunday, 9 o'clock. Donnie Wahlberg, who's turned into quite the actor, is in this as well, yes?
He's got abilities. More than New Kids on the Block, you know?
Yeah, he was great in Sixth Sense.
Yeah. I've worked with him before. We did this little unseen movie called Body Count. It was his first thing. He was incredible.
Now, is this... The Kill Point, is this going to be a series or is this a special?
It's a miniseries, yeah. It's like just 8 hours.
Mm-hmm. And what is, so it'll be four episodes?
It's six episodes.
Okay, six episodes.
The first one's 2 hours and the last one's 2 hours.
John Leguizamo's on the phone. John, you were born in Bogota, Colombia?
Believe it or not.
And what is the story of the family? When did you come here to the United States?
Well, we left when I was about 3 years old. And my parents came here because my father had wayward ways, and he thought he'd be less attracted to all the females over here.
I figured I said enough.
I said, but, you know, it didn't turn out to be true. It was just a lie.
Oh, because I sent personally enough money to Bogota, Colombia to build a small school.
Did you see the library with Danny's name on it over there?
It says Danny Bonucci's Public Library. Danny and Pablo Escobar.
So, I never met him, but I'm dying to go to his. I hear he's still alive, actually.
That's a lot of people hear that.
Pablo?
Yeah.
Well, you
the snow's still flowing, you know.
You come out here at 3 years of age. You go to New York.
Yeah.
And
in Jackson Heights, Queens.
And when do you realize that you're going to make a go of it in the arts department?
I think when I get arrested, and I realize I got to do something else with my life. And my math teacher, Mr. Zufa, who rhymes with loofah, he's like, John, you got to start rechannel that aggressive behavior into something a little more productive. How about trying comedy?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, F you, man. Mind your business. I found the acting school.
But it's weird that the guy pointed you in the direction of comedy because...
I was a class clown. I was like a troublemaker. I'd lock teachers up in the elevator and stuff like that.
An elevator?
What were you arrested for?
I was arrested for truancy.
Mm-hmm. And do you...
it's like our gang is arrested for currency, you know, by you know...
Yeah, it seems very old-fashioned, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We were, like, I orchestrated this walkout with, like, 20 guys, and we went to Times Square to watch a porn movie at 16.
And is it... are you just one of these guys that goes off a 3 hour sleep and constantly has a fire in his belly and needs to be doing something all the time, or is that just the way you appear?
I am always on the go, but my sleep is my favorite drug, man. I can sleep 12, 15 hours if I didn't have kids.
And what is your family status now? You're married? You have children?
Married with children.
And how old are the kids?
Two little species.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, we should set up a play date. How old are they?
6 and 7.
Oh, yeah. I just have 1-year-old twins.
Yeah. My Latin twins are like 14 months apart.
Wow.
And what do you hope for them? Would you like them to follow in daddy's footsteps?
Hell no. I love my kids. They're not going to go into
Yeah, but you've been really successful.
Doctors, lawyers, something, you know, politicians.
Mm-hmm.
Unstable.
And how, so John, after the Kill Point on Spike TV, what's coming up? Features? Is there a series in the works? Or are you going back onto the stage? What do you want to do?
Well, they got this great movie coming out called Love in the Time of Cholera. Mm-hmm. By Gabriel Garcia Marquez, who's Colombian, too. And it's that famous love story. It's like this love story through 80 years. It's going to be huge.
And do you just like to mix it up? I mean, when you get tired of being on stage, you want to do a feature. When you're tired of doing something serious, you want to do a comedy. Do you intentionally sort of mix it up that way?
Yeah, you kind of do. You do something like I just did Kill Point. It was so intense, you know. We were hostage takers, and with the hostages and the cons, you start arguing and fighting with people off camera, and it's kind of depressing, you know, when you're doing it. It's good for the flick, but it's not good for you. So I want to go to something light after that. Now I'm doing Ice Age 3 right now, so that's light and fun, and just takes me out of that mindset.
It is. By the way, I have a 6-year-old and a 12-year-old, so Ice Age 1 was mm-hmm. with the 12-year-old.
Yeah.
Ice Age 2 was with the 12-year-old when she was, I guess, whatever. It came out recently, maybe 10 or 11.
Ice Age 3 may not be.
Why not?
We'll make it adult-friendly.
Oh, mm-hmm. Good. Because they've been one of the most wonderful. That and the Toy Story series and the Aladdin series with Robin Williams.
Yeah.
Were like, that's how my kids grew up, with stuff you could watch together. And Ice Age 1 and 2 were probably two of the best.
I know. We had a bunch of claymated crap from the 50s and 60s
right.
with snowmen. I mean, think about the retarded junk. Yes, John?
Remember David and Goliath?
No!
Yeah!
Talk about crappy claymation.
It'd be like a bit we get to church if we use Dad's car. I don't know, Davey.
This is slower speaking, non-habit.
And the worst
never happened.
The worst thing you could do for kids as far as entertainment was a message.
The whole show was a message. There was like no fun, no pranks, no falls, nothing.
I know. And the creepiest thing was his black friend. Because somehow when you claymate black, it don't work right.
No, it doesn't look right.
It just looks scary.
Like, it looks like Al Jolson.
Yeah, it just looks like a white guy who's brown. They just use brown clay, but they use the same mold. All right. Well, I think it was brought to you from the church for Latter-day Saints or something like that. But at least,
what is it?
Thank God, John, old enough to remember Davy and Goliath. The Kill Point, by the way, on Spike TV. No Davy and Goliath.
No, none of that, man. No message.
All right. Well,
one message. I'm the guy with the gun. I'm the guy with the hostages. Right. That's a serious ass message.
The message is duck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's the message.
F you, man. Mind your business.
Spike TV. We got a 2-hour premiere this Sunday, July 22nd, 9 p.m. Hey, John, you live on the East Coast or West Coast, or where are you?
Right Coast.
Pardon me?
Right Coast.
The
New
Right
York.
Coast. Oh, okay. Well, when you're out here, come see us in person.
Oh, you bet. You know Danny Kelson, right?
Yo, yes, ooh. I do.
Yeah.
Who?
Yeah.
He's one of the producers of The Man Show, Sheridan.
How do you know him,
many
John?
Years.
His daughter and my daughter are best friends.
Oh, they go to the same private school somewhere in the city?
Private school, privileged life.
Yeah.
Fancy.
All right, well, we'll all get together and drink some vodka.
That sounds good, man.
All right, John Leguizamo, everybody. The Kill Point, Spike TV.
That's you, man. Mind your business.
I got to get better on my social invites. Did you know how easy that was? Come on over and watch
the
vodka.
He's cool. You know, here's one of the ways you know he's cool. He calls it a flick.
Yeah, not a film.
Or a joint.
Or a movie.
We need to take ourselves...
Adam's good. He doesn't say, come on over, we'll snort some Vicodin. I think that's where I go wrong.
We need to take ourselves a break, but before we do... Bonaducci, let's see. A couple weeks ago, Bonaducci fired up the Harley, hit the road, went to go look for Paris Hilton.
Oh,
No, I never went to go look for her. I went to go right where you bastards told me she was.
Well, she was
then
at the
I
airport.
Ended up looking for her.
Yes, went to one place, went to the Hilton compound somewhere in Beverly Hills, then went to her place, and as it turns out, she was in Hawaii.
Right.
According to my sources, Paris Hilton, Milwaukee.
The point is, even though we never found Paris Hilton, we found comedy. We enjoyed it.
Oh, good.
I thought it worked out.
Where's it been since then?
I don't know, but we're bringing it back because Bonaducci's firing up the hog. And He's going to go find the Beckham house.
Oh.
We got a little welcome to L.A. gift we want to give to Posh. And
I hope it's a snack.
And bend it.
I think it is.
Right on.
We will...
Well, I hope she gets a bit more than a snack.
Take ourselves a break. Bonaducci, why don't you grab your gift, fire up the hog, grab the cell phone, head for the Beckhams. We'll check in with you along the way, and when you get there, we'll check out what the scene is in front of the new Beckham Manor.
All right, I am going to miss Norm Macdonald, who is very funny and everything, but Fiona, the Australian chick. Will somebody like test drive her for me?
Yes.
What do you mean?
I will get a core sample from her.
All right, cool.
So that you can put it under your microscope
when we get back. If she can doing the news and help you out with your phone calls and help me out in ways I might need some help, that'd be cool if somebody checked that out for me.
Chelsea versus LA Galaxy is this Saturday, by the way, and it's going to be Beckham's first game if it's his bum ankle isn't too bad. So anyway, Bonaducci going over to the Beckhams. Fire up the hog, get the bagels. We'll check in with you. T?
Yes.
News. What's coming up in it?
Well, we just talked about the Emmy nominations. We'll have a little more on that. Plus, Paula Abdul talks about not drinking. And Daniel Baldwin has a new girlfriend. And guess where they met?
I bet I could guess.
That place where they hide the books?
No, that place where they hide the gods.
Ah, rehab or jail. We'll take a quick break. Be right back.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Here's another summer safety tip with the deaf frat guy.
It is well known that chlorine is nature's spermicide. So if you and your partner should find yourself alone in a pool, feel free to bang away.
Thanks, Matt. Now back to Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser on the Adam Carolla Show.
Untrue, by the way. I know if Def Frack guy could hear me now, he'd be embarrassed. Danny Bonaducci is on his Harley. He is on his way to the Beckham house. He's going to welcome them to the neighborhood. Teresa Strasser has the news. Norm Macdonald standing by. He'll be in here in a couple of few. But first, Teresa Strasser and her news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
A scary day in New York City yesterday. Although this morning, some concerns are alleviated about the steam pipe explosion near Grand Central Terminal, which left one woman dead, countless people injured. At first, city officials announced the test did not detect asbestos in the air. The carcinogen was found, however, in some debris and dust that had settled. This, according to the City Office of Emergency Management, tests are continuing.
Yeah, the pipe is from the 20s. It's probably clad in asbestos. The thing about asbestos is when you leave it alone, it's fine. It's not going to do any damage to you.
Right.
But when it becomes airborne, then you inhale it, then it does damage. So if you have an asbestos pipe in your house, leave it alone. Start whacking on it or trying to do something about the asbestos, then the asbestos gets in the air, you inhale it, and you get that whatever disease you get from that. But here's the bigger question. What's the steam pipe from the 20s for? I put Bald Brian on this about 5 minutes ago. And again, it's another one of those news stories, and I keep complaining about this. I don't want the story. I want why the story. You know what I mean? I want to know some of the particulars. They keep saying a steam pipe has exploded. How many steam pipes are there? It's the middle of July. What do we need the steam for? Do we have steam in L.A.? Do you have steam in Portland? Do you have steam in Vegas? I don't think so.
Here's what I can tell you.
Yes.
Millions of pounds of steam are pumped beneath New York City streets every hour, heating and cooling thousands of buildings, including the Empire State Building.
Mm-hmm.
That is according to ABC News.
Do we have that here? I don't think we have that in Los
Angeles.
Feels
like we don't have that here.
I don't think we do.
Don't we have heating and cooling here?
Yeah, we do, but I think those units are generated by electricity and not by steam, and maybe because this stuff is from the turn of the century, it's a different technology. So, do you have it in your city would be one interesting thing.
Right,
and
true.
Why there's steam pipes going all through New York would be another thing the news could very quickly discuss. Now, I watched CNN this morning. They brought up the story 255 times. They just never said why there was 2-foot pipes filled with steam from the 20s going through every street in New York City.
Now, apparently, this isn't the first steam pipe rupture. There was an explosion near Gramercy Park that was back in 89. Three people were killed, and, of course, loads of asbestos were spewed into the air, a fact that Con Ed, which is their power and electrical company, later admitted it concealed for a few days while residents were exposed.
Good times. And everyone's freaked out over this whole 9/11
yeah.
thing and the debris and the airborne,
sure.
this and that, so it couldn't have come at a worse time.
Well, you may wonder why this thing ruptured. They say it's a condition known as water hammer. Now,
yeah,
water hammer.
That's my porn name.
Ew.
It wasn't water, but...
That's evocative.
Thank you.
Water condenses in a closed section of the pipe, and then the sudden mix of hot steam and cool water can cause pressure to skyrocket and the pipe burst.
This is very interesting.
Yeah. Now, that one part, and they did talk about the water hammer, but see, that's the part of the news I don't need, because all you have to do is say the pipe is from the 20s, and there's 250 pounds of pressure of steam pouring through it every day for me to do the burst math. You know what I mean? When there's a pipe that's 85 years old and it has 200 pounds of pressure in it, I'll just assume it's going to burst at some point. I don't need the it provoked by the earthquake or the water hammer. The water hammer.
Well, here's a story out of Lubbock, Texas about a mother mm-hmm. who was seriously unfit. Yesterday, a judge in Texas ordered seven young children removed from a home after authorities discovered it was infested with rats and filled with garbage, including stacks of dirty diapers nearly 4 feet high in the closets. But you'll never believe how they caught on to this woman. This is very disturbing. Authorities went to the home, the dilapidated home, after this mother named Gloria Ramirez.
I assumed it was pristine, except for the avalanche of dew-covered diapers that the paramedic was swallowed up in when he opened it.
Authorities went to the museum-like antiseptic home of Gloria Ramirez.
Mm, yes.
After she called a funeral home. She was looking for a casket for the stillborn 4-month-old fetus that she had delivered in the bathtub with help from her oldest child, a 9-year-old girl.
I just threw up in my mouth.
The fetus was found in a baby wipe box in the refrigerator. When she called, they thought, seems strange. Someone's calling for a casket for a fetus.
How many kids did she have? Seven.
Ugh. Yeah.
Really, everybody. Does anyone want to talk about this? I know we can't play God. I know everything breaks down along racial lines and it becomes bigoted and you can't discuss this. Between the race implications with a lot of these stories and the playing God implications in a lot of these stories, every pussy politician is way too scared to open the soup cooler when it comes to this topic. But this is the only topic that needs to be focused on. Oh, we want to talk about global warming. We want to talk about prison populace. We want to talk about education. We want to talk about crime. We want to talk about violent crime and gangs and street crime. It's all stupid people crapping out multiple kids. You know what it is? It's a rim with spokes that lead to one hub. They all lead to one center. Now, the spokes are all different. Over here, you have welfare fraud, and then over on this spoke, you have pollution. Over on this spoke, you have unemployment. You have crime on this spoke. You have all the things you talk about, all the ills of society. Oh, it's overcrowding. Oh, there's not enough schools. There's not enough cops. There's not enough people to patrol. We don't have enough, what are those places where you keep the books?
Libraries.
Who would want to borrow a book? The point is we don't have enough. Well, it's not that we don't have enough of these things. We have too many of the retards that want to use them. See, it's not that we don't have enough cops, enough judges, enough probation officers. We got plenty of them. It's just we have a bunch of bitches crapping out 9 kids, thus too many.
Well, let's talk about the father.
Hold on. I'm not done, because the key is not let's get more cops and let's get more judges and let's build more prisons and let's build more schools and let's build more, what, one more time at the place?
Libraries.
Where they hide the books. It's not about building more of those. It's about getting stupid people to quit crapping out kids. Now, doesn't everyone get that math? We're never going to be able to keep up. We can't build roads fast enough and we can't hire cops fast enough. We can't do it. We have to get these idiots to stop crapping out kids. But are we going to do it? Hell no. Why? Politicians. Scared pussies. Why? Because the second you bring it up, well, who's crapping out the kids? The poor people. And then you're playing God, and now you're a racist, and now you're not going to get reelected, you pussies. But you know what the answer is, and no one will talk about it. We'll just dance around it. And by the way, do you approach any other problem in life that way? Where you just discuss all the byproducts of stupid people cranking out kids? Where you just discuss the problems about education and crime and welfare and overcrime? You just discuss that, but you never discuss the root. Do you approach anything logically that way, where you discuss the byproduct, but you never focus on the root, which is stupid poor people cranking out kids? And by the way, you have no right to have kids. Especially 7 and now an 8th, which is stillborn. But let's hear about the dad so I can further get disgusted.
You will be very disgusted when you hear that the government actually already tried to intervene with this couple.
Mm-hmm.
And it was ineffective. Now, the father of the six younger children is named Anthony Moya. He's 40. In this instance, he's been charged with 7 counts of child endangerment, the same charges that were filed against the mother. But this is not Ramirez and Moya's first run-in with the law. In May of 1999, Child Protective Services removed the youngest daughter and a son that Ramirez had with Moya. They removed the daughter and son for physical neglect. So they had the parents complete a program, and then they returned the children to them in October of 2000.
All right. Well, it was a very effective program. And look, I want these Johnny Appleseeds put down. I just want them put away. Why? Because believe me, one of those kids is going to kill somebody. Easy math.
Right.
I guarantee those kids are statistics. I guarantee they're not going to finish high school. Yes, one of them will become successful and the other 18 will be criminals. And we'll look at that one that became successful and go, you see, I'm playing the odds here. I'm looking at the 18 that are in the system. I'm looking at the 18 who have killed people or are criminals or who are junkies and want these people put down. And guys like this that can't sport a condom every once in a while and just go around knocking up people are a much bigger threat than Al-Qaeda. Easy. Do the math. What the hell's Al-Qaeda do? Seriously. What do they do on this soil? How many lives have they claimed, and how many lives have the offspring of these guys claimed? I mean, look, it's all about a society, right?
Right.
It's all about, do you want to live in a good society, or you want to live in a bad society? The chances of your family being affected by Al-Qaeda are close to zero.
Right.
We love to obsess on it. We love to preoccupy about it, but reality, close to nil. The chances of my kids being affected by a bunch of these kids, just in the form of higher taxes, more crowding,
right.
Less
crime.
Opportunities, crime, whatever it is, urban sprawl, whatever mm-hmm. it is 100%. These are the people we need to focus on. But what do politicians want to do? They want to talk about the outside chance of a bridge getting blown up versus our own domestic form of terrorism, which is stupid people crapping out kids. Thank you. The more you know.
Well, it's, it would be difficult to quantify the amount of wreckage caused to and by children who grow up in a rat-infested home filled with diapers and stillborn fetuses.
It's billions. It's billions. It's the only problem we have as a society. I say it all the time. Dr. Drew has triplets. What do we need? We need to start building some prisons. Do they need their own probation officers? Do you think you have to lock your doors at night? Are you worried about welfare fraud or insurance fraud? You think any one of these kids is going to do anything to anybody? No. Why? Loving family. Not a wife. But loving family. Money.
Right.
Education.
Sure.
Nurturing.
Stable.
Stable. And there you go, everybody.
Well,
that's
we should
it.
All be that lucky.
Well,
he's gay.
The day we do that as a society is the day you do not have to deadbolt your door when you go in your house. On a summer night, leave that door wide open. Who's coming in?
Yeah. Well, it's a nice vision for
idiots.
The future.
Oh, but it's the only thing the politicians should be focused on. It's the only thing, and yet it's the only thing they never discuss.
Well, today, the world of entertainment is focused on the Primetime Emmy Awards.
Yeah.
Nominations were announced this morning by Kira Sedgwick and John Cryer.
Both from broken families. Cryer is a maniac who needs to be stopped.
Really?
Oh, yes. That's right. It's insane.
Well, the drama series...
Grew up in a rat-infested squalor.
Fetus that was in a baby white box in the refrigerator.
That was him. That was Cryer.
And yet he's managed to overcome his
Ducky boy
death.
Really made some strides.
Well, drama series nominated were Boston Legal, Grey's Anatomy, Heroes, House, and The Sopranos. Comedy series nominated this morning were Entourage, The Office, 30 Rock, Two and a Half Men with Mr. Cryer and Ugly Betty. Now let's hear this morning Kira and John announcing the nominations for Best Actors in a Comedy Series.
For Lead Actor in a Comedy Series, the nominees are Alec Baldwin, 30 Rock, Steve Carell, The Office, Ricky Gervais, Extras, Tony Shalhoub, Monk, Charlie Sheen, Two and a Half Men.
Charlie Sheen, too.
Oh, boy. Well, probably help that kid get laid, get him out of his slump.
Coffee's for closes only.
A slump of 20 minutes?
Nah, he's going to get laid for sure. Yeah, he doesn't have slumps. He has refractory periods.
You can't tell the difference.
He considers that a slump. It's a refractory period.
Let's hear the nominations for lead actress.
Oh, I only had a second penis.
Hey. The nominees for lead actress in a comedy series are America Ferrera, Ugly Betty. Mm-hmm. Tina Fey, 30 Rock. Felicity Huffman, Desperate Housewives. Mm. Julia Louis-Dreyfus, The New Adventures of Old Christine. And Mary Louise Parker for Weeds.
All right. Well, first off, back to Baldwin. He is good. He's a blowhard.
You mean Alec?
Yes. He's a dear...
brass balls to sell real estate.
He's very good.
He's a dear friend, but he is good. He is a great comedic actor. And I think, hopefully he'll win.
I think so, too. His timing is flawless.
Mm-hmm.
He's excellent on it.
And listen, please, people, if the America Fierro or whatever the Ugly Betty chick wins, let's not talk about her being the new beautiful or Ugly being the new beautiful or whatever. Let's not have Molly Sims discuss how beautiful she is when everyone who's watching wants to hump Molly Sims. Molly Sims's dad is watching the show wanting to hump Molly Sims over America. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Please stop convincing us that the squatty chick who's not very attractive is super hot now. We'll decide. We'll vote with our penises.
And your eyes and your hearts.
Yes.
But mostly your penis.
I give it a big schlong down.
Well, as you predicted earlier, HBO has the most nominations by a long shot with 86, followed by ABC with 70, NBC by 69. CBS
ABC 70.
Yeah, not nice. Bad. Because, you know, they have Desperate Housewives and Ugly Betty.
Well, let's not forget Kimmel.
And Kimmel.
Wasn't technically nominated, but a muse for the shows that were nominated. He inspired them. Hey, Chad.
Yeah.
How say you, my friend?
I am excellent. Dude, you should run for president. I'm telling you, you are a genius. You have the best platform. Stop the stupid people from having kids.
By the way, it's not having, it's crapping out.
Yes, and I would argue the ultimate platform, because you could say, what are you going to do about education? I'd say, stop all the retards from crapping out the kids. And they'd say, what are you going to do about crime? And I'd say, stop all the retards from crapping out the kids. And you'd say, what are you going to do about unemployment? And I'd say, stop all. It's really easy. I have the ultimate answer. Yes.
You've got my tell you, it's not socioeconomic or race-based either, because there are a lot of rich white people out there that are stupid, too.
Yeah, although I'm not talking about them. But thanks, Chad.
Well, I see Norm MacDonald outside. Do we have to go to break?
No, keep going.
More news. Okay, well, you just mentioned Alec Baldwin.
Mm-hmm.
His brother, Daniel, here's something he did not reveal when he did his interview with Prime Time. He is now living with a woman who cooked his meals at the Renaissance Rehab facility in Malibu.
Wow, that sounds rough.
And she's pregnant. She reportedly quit her job at Renaissance after she found out she was pregnant. So I guess where are you going to meet somebody if you're in rehab?
Oh, he nailed the help.
Yeah, the cook.
Interesting.
Yeah, and reportedly she's pregnant and they're together.
I imagine there's a fair amount of that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've heard that they tell you you shouldn't date for your first year of sobriety.
Yeah, they always say that. But look, if you're going to get off the bottle, you're going to have to get on top of somebody.
Yes.
If you're going to get off the heroin, off the coke, whatever you get off of, you need to roll on to another human being.
Right.
You have to overcompensate. It's either that or you just chain smoke, drink coffee, and gamble like Norm MacDonald. We don't have the radio on in the green room, do we?
He seems totally unaware.
Oh, okay.
Talking to your assistant, Jay.
Shocker.
Yeah, people seem to transfer from one addiction to the other.
Yeah.
And this one seems much more harmless.
Yeah, although it's got to be tough for her because she's going home and she's like, you know how I work in the celebrity rehab place? And all her friends are like, yeah, I had an affair. I met somebody. I'm pregnant. I think we're going to get married. And they're like, who, Charlie Sheen?
Ben Affleck?
No. Baldwin?
Alec?
Steven?
No.
Keep going.
Billy?
No.
Daniel?
He was in Jack Daniels in The Marlboro Man from 1989. Whatever that movie was. He's a fat one.
Well, that's great.
He doesn't make money.
Good for you. I hope you're happy.
I am.
Now, from one addict to somebody who's often accused of being an addict, Paula Abdul. Matt Lauer asked her the tough question on the Today Show yesterday.
He's a crowbar, that Matt Lauer.
He took it to her.
Yeah.
Do you drink?
Do I drink?
Yeah, I mean, without being drunk?
I've never been drunk. I'll have an occasional sip of wine or a drink that has an umbrella on it and sugar in it.
All right. Clear up another misconception. There was a report, and I don't know where this came from, that you are addicted to painkillers.
Never been addicted to painkillers. Painkillers don't work for me. That's the biggest misconception. Right. And having been through a plane crash and I've had 14 cervical spinal surgeries, the hardest thing for me is I've had to learn to live.
Sure. Shot down over Da Nang, 68.
Six years
in Hanoi Hilton. Oh, beaten and left for dead in a rice paddy. What plane crash was Paula Abdul in?
Interesting you should ask. She was in a plane crash in 92, which led to, according to her and reported by USA Today, seizures, bulimia, and depression.
Oh,
I've
bulimia.
I've never even been in a plane crash.
Look. First off, Matt Lauer, what a hard-hitting interview.
Yeah.
Have you ever drank without getting drunk? Thanks, Matt. Look, if people drink to get drunk, I do believe. Otherwise, there's a whole bunch of crap that tastes better than booze.
I'll have a root beer if it's not going to change my mood.
Yeah, if I'm not looking to catch a buzz, give me a nice iced tea or some Tang. I'm not going to be boozing, but I like the booze. I tolerate the taste because I catch a nice buzz. So let them answer, Matt. And then, secondly, I would say that I'm on something because, again, we've had that conversation on the show many times where people deny. And I always tell them, like I tell my stoner buddies who are looking for their car keys and their car keys are in their hands or doing another boneheaded maneuver. I go, well, stoned again. And they go, that's not because I'm stoned. That's not because I smoke pot. And I go, you better hope it's because you smoke pot. Otherwise, you have a goddamn brain tumor. Here are your choices. Paula Abdul, you're either doing the drugs and doing the booze or doing something that is altering you, or you have a speech impediment and can't connect your thoughts. I would love to be on the pain pills and love to be on the booze rather than just have some sort of problem that stone cold sober, sounded drunk, slurred my words, and couldn't form a thought.
It's true. She always does sound like she's slurring. It's hard to tell if something's going on in her mouth or what.
And here's how you find out painkillers don't work. You take 500 Vicodin a day for 5 years, and then you announce it doesn't work.
Yes. Well, she says she's been battling chronic pain that began after a cheerleading accident at 17 that left her with an injured disc in her neck.
I had a cheerleading accident.
What happened?
It's It was a premature accident.
The water hammer.
No, it was perhaps you heard of the famed pyramid collapse of 1983.
Well, who hasn't?
I was at the top of that pyramid.
Wow.
Enough said.
Is it difficult to talk about?
No, move on.
Well, let me just play this one last clip of Paula Abdul. She was also on Letterman. I don't know if you know this, Adam, but Paula Abdul has a boyfriend now.
I heard.
Yeah, he's 32. She's 45.
Mm.
Now, here she
is. He's a restaurateur.
Well, he co-owns a restaurant with famed cuisine expert Tara Reid.
I am going to sit... Nobody knows international cuisine like Tara Reid. I've said it many times.
Yeah.
How do you want your corn dog, sweetie? I'm going to have a conversation with my son, a conversation my dad should have but never had with me on how to get laid.
How does that go?
Well, because women don't focus on looks and they don't focus on a lot of aesthetics that men focus on. They focus on sort of career trajectory
right.
and your standing and what have you.
Right.
Look, if you can be a celebrity, first thing I'm going to try to do is get him to be a Latin crooner.
Oh, that's good.
If that doesn't work, then I'm going to tell him to be a celebrity. If he can't be a celebrity or he can't be in a rock band, restaurateur. That is second. That is almost celebrity.
Yeah, well, look at Randy Gerber, Cindy Crawford's husband.
The restaurateurs and the chefs,
yeah,
especially celebrity chefs, get laid more than celebrities. The guys who own the nightclub or own the restaurant that the hot chicks eat at, are the celebrities once they cross the threshold into that building and thus get the celebrity
yes,
chicks. Although,
yeah.
Paul Abdul isn't exactly what I had in mind for the son.
Well, that is their fiefdom, their mm-hmm. restaurant. Now, here's Paula Abdul talking about her man.
And how are you? Everything good in your life?
You know,
you have a boyfriend? Are you dating anybody?
As a matter of fact, things are looking up. I'm dating someone. He's a lot younger, mm-hmm. so that's different.
I mean, what's the difference?
He's an architect.
He's an architect?
No, he's not.
He's not an architect.
He likes playing with Legos, though.
Oh.
This is why Letterman rolls his eyes before Abdul comes on the show.
Hey, we're starting it again.
Well, the bad news is she's a little long in the tooth, and Looney's a tune, but the good news is he catches a buzz every time she performs oral on him.
I hadn't thought about that.
No,
do you think
yes.
it's actually so much in her system?
I've been with women just for that reason.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So you're not exactly drinking, but alcohol's going into your system.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
The more you know.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll end on that note. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news, today, Teresa Strasser.
One of my favorite guys, Norm Macdonald. Truly one of the greats.
A very fascinating guy with the poker and the comedy.
A man who had the guts to stare his career in the eye and say, I don't care.
Yeah.
That's a man.
Not many can do that.
And for my money, did the best Weekend Update on Saturday Night Live, and the young Smoking the Bandit, Burt Reynolds, from SNL. Oh.
That was excellent.
Comedy gold. Norm Macdonald next on The Adam Carolla Show.
This is The Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser.
I drove up here. We drove all the way from Canada. I can't drive myself. But we rode up, you know, from Canada. And I was all the way in the back seat of a car. You ever been in the back seat of a car for a big long trip like that? Man, that stinks, huh? The front seat, that's where you want to be, you know, right beside the driver. That's a good seat there. You know, you're a second in command there. You know, you're... You say, hey, the driver dies, I'll be the driver.
Appearing tonight through Sunday night at the Brea Improv, Saturday Night Live alumnus Norm Macdonald on The Adam Carolla Show.
Great to see you, Norm.
Hey, man.
I don't know why I like Norm Macdonald so much, but I always have.
He's very affable and
drunk.
Very funny.
Affability, man. That's what yeah. it's all about.
Exactly.
I started off as a fan, and then I got to know Norm. And I was a little less a fan, but still a fan. No, I just always loved the news. Always thought you were smart and a nice combination of smart and doesn't care.
You know, I've done stand-up for a long time, so when I go to a club or something, people think maybe I know the news because I used to do the news.
Right.
They actually think you're an anchor.
Yeah, no, they think I follow the news.
Right.
And I have, they're like, I bet you're going to make fun of that thing this week, you know, and I don't read the newspaper.
No, Norm's out of it. He gets up at noon normally. He just stayed up another hour to be on this show.
I stayed up all night.
You were up all night?
Yeah.
What were you doing?
I was just playing on my computer.
Collecting urine.
When you say playing, Porn or gambling?
No, I don't. I've never seen porn on a computer before.
He gambles.
But you know what I feel sorry for? The guy killed himself because he brought up porn from to catch a
predator. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He was like a city official. Yeah.
I take it you're a virgin.
Yeah.
And I hate that show because, like, I hate predators.
Right.
Like everyone, you know, sexual predators. No one likes them. But also, I hate that other guy. I hate that guy, Chris Hansen. I hate him worse.
Why
are you
naked?
Because, first of
all,
they trick these dudes. Like, some of them could be actual predators, right?
Yeah.
But also, I can just imagine a big fat guy at his computer, and then a super hot young girl comes on. Hey, come over to my house. My parents are gone.
Well, that's the unfortunate part of this. And I do feel this way, not so much about the underage stuff, but I certainly do with the LAPD and the whoever PD when they take the hot, you know, the hot police chick and they dress her up and there's some schlub. I mean, I've talked to guys who said it was a Friday night. I walked down to the corner to get a six pack. I was going to go home, drink that, masturbate and cry myself to sleep. And some hot chick came up to me and wanted to know what was going on and what I was doing. And it's like, can you blame any male American or any male on the planet for going, huh?
No.
It seems like entrapment.
That's why this weird, like a pedophile, right? There's a big difference between a 15-year-old girl and a 1-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Are you saying 15
9 years.
Okay.
I'm saying that 50, it's just a cultural thing, right?
That's right.
Obviously, a 15-year-old girl is a woman, whereas a 1-year-old is an infant.
Let me
so
defend.
So if you're attracted to a 1-year-old, you're mentally ill.
Right.
If you're attracted to a 15-year-old, you're a normal person
that
doesn't act on a crazy...
That is fair.
Let me defend Norm for 1 second.
No, I'm not a predator. I don't defend
well, how do you...
I'll defend you, Norm.
No. You're naked.
He's Canadian.
Right.
15-year-old's considered a spinstress over there. That's an old name. Hey, baby, where's your stroke cane? It's the 9th grade already.
You know what, Norm? I really do see your point, although 12 seems like a tough... Because I think that
I didn't know they were that young.
They say that they're 12... 13 or 14.
But I like when they go in, the dude comes in to get the lady, and then the lady, she just like fleeting across the screen. She's like, I'll just be back. I'm just, you know, putting some whipped cream on me or something like that. And then she goes, there's cookies. I made some cookies.
I made some sweet tea and Toll House cookies.
Like, is that enough? She's going to have sex
cool
with
whip.
The guy.
I'm so freaked out because I watch this show religiously.
Yeah.
I don't trust my own wife. Like, once in a while, I'll say, she'll go, come up to the kids' room. Oh, no, you don't. No. The door's open. Come on up. Are you kidding me? You think I'm going to fall for this one? We wrestled to the ground by the Sacramento Police Department in my own house?
Exactly. That's the worst, is that Chris Hansen... You know, once you're caught, you should just be caught. The guy shouldn't then torture you. Like, he's like, what are you up to? And the guy's like, nothing. Oh, well, let me read you this. What did you say? And you're like, oh, God, of course. Oh, I forgot about saying that.
Yeah, I know.
And then he's like, hey, here's the cameras, but you can leave if you want. The guy's like, really? Yeah, go ahead.
I like the fact that the guy always gets tackled no matter what.
Yeah, why are they tackling him with
guns? I
know,
they're always like...
He's not going to have sex with them.
Yeah, he's a 50-year-old CPA.
Yeah. Poor guy.
Not putting up a fight.
Poor guy's walking back to his custom van, and here comes the Sacramento PD. On your room! And the guy's like, huh? And then they just bum rush him and tackle him. I do feel sorry for the guy who ruins a pair of Dockers out on the lawn because he doesn't know what's going on.
Oh, it's just a nightmare. And you know, if you go there to have some hot sex with a young, you know, young lady...
Sure.
The last thing you want to see is that guy in a suit show. Right?
I've turned the corner. I agree with Norm. Norm, do you know what my plan is whenever I answer these ads on the internet with the young ladies? I'm so freaked out about Chris Hansen, I send over a Chris Hansen candygram. And here's how it works. 10 minutes before I get there, guy comes to the door. Candygram for Chris Hansen. Is he here? Is he not at this? No? And if I see that guy just shaking his head and walking back toward his car, then I move in.
Oh, that's good.
I see Hansen come out and sign for it. And then, you know, bat his eyelids,
I assume. Predators are always ahead of the line
for
that's
the problem.
You send the candygram over for Chris Hansen. All right. Danny Bonaducci, by the way, is on his way to the Beckham's house over there, probably neighbors of Norm MacDonald.
No, he is.
He is heading out there to, I guess it's Beverly Hills. Or I want to projectile vomit whenever I hear about him being best friends with Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes and then welcoming them to the neighborhood.
Beckham it's is?
Whenever they do these stories about Beckham and Posh. Oh, no, that would be a great day. Get Cruise in studio. No, it's their best friends all of a sudden, and I have no idea how Katie Holmes knows Beckham or Posh Spice or vice versa. I'm sure they don't. It's just one of the celebrity ass kiss maneuvers. Norm MacDonald not going to kiss any celebrity.
I imagine
ass.
This is hell for the British, you know, because I don't watch soccer, but I was in Canada when Gretzky came to L.A., and, oh, my God, it was the worst
the
thing
Canadians
ever happened
were angry?
To our country. Right. Yeah, it was horrible.
He
it was
lost
like,
a great one.
Because I remember it was like, why is he going? And they're like, because of a, he's a wife. And we were like, what? There's women in Toronto? You know what I mean?
You feel like she's the Yoko of hockey.
Exactly, yeah.
Hocko.
And then she's, you know, oh, my God. And then that dynasty could have gone forever, and it sucks. So
you're
bad.
Still upset about this.
No, it was a bad thing, because that's all we got is hockey.
They evidently, because
Canada got nothing but hockey.
The thing that's funny about Canada is so universally consistent in its love of hockey. You know, you come to the United States, you stop a guy in the street, it's not a guarantee that he loves baseball or football.
Yeah.
There's a better than not chance he doesn't give a crap about baseball or football.
That's
true. The Canadians, no such thing as a Canadian not only doesn't love hockey, but who doesn't skate.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't, we never had any other sport. Like, you talk about ratings and stuff. I remember Hockey Night in Canada. They used to say 85% of the country would watch. I mean, that's about the biggest rating you could possibly have, because parents would watch, kids would watch, teenagers would, you know, we'd have parties and drink beer and watch.
Right.
Everybody would watch Hockey Night in Canada on Saturday.
Did you play, like, in high school and that kind of stuff?
Were you good?
Yeah, I was really good. But then you know, it gets to the point where they go, oh, you're not good enough to be in Junior B. And then you're like, oh, my God, I may as well
start gambling and tell jokes.
No, there's just nothing else. There's no show business in Canada. There's no.
But you're a Canadian citizen still, right?
Yes, yeah.
Now, why is that?
I don't know, really. I love America the best.
Oh, you love our money.
Yeah.
Sure, you love our money.
Country, love
and
it.
You love our ladies, but
it's
then you
like
go back to Mother Canada.
No, I've never been back to Canada.
Oh, really?
No, I've never been back once.
No.
I like America like 10,000 times better.
But you're a Canadian citizen.
Yeah, because I've never, like, I you have to take a test and learn all those things.
Oh, yeah. Not for you. No.
But I know a lot. You could probably quiz me. I might know a lot about America.
All right. Straight beats a full house?
I know this, that on July 4th, two of our presidents died.
Really?
On the exact same day.
Jeez, I was born here. I didn't even know
this
that.
This is amazing. Huh.
We will take ourselves a break. Norm MacDonald going to be at the Brea Improv tonight through Sunday.
I'll tell
shows.
You the presents after the break.
Ah, good tease.
Good.
And tell us what the river and a flop is, too, because I know Norm MacDonald stayed up. He was.
You were playing poker online?
I was playing last night.
We will Norm, a gambler who does a fair amount of winning, right?
I win at poker, but nothing else.
We'll take ourselves a quick break. Let's see. When we come back, yes, Fiona, the allegedly hot Australian who wants to be our phone screener, is going to be in studio. And possibly we'll hear from Bonaducci. We'll see where he is. Oh, wait, he's on the phone. I wasn't even looking. Hold
is
on
it
a second.
House?
Hey, Danny.
Get on the phone to play Wild
Card. Sorry. You know, I got to tell you, I am mistaken for Norm MacDonald quite a bit. I don't know why, but I've been staring into his blue Canadian eyes for the last 20 minutes.
You're both lanky and funny.
I didn't look back. Danny, where are you now?
How you doing there, Norm? Are you good?
I wanted to meet you. I'm bummed out that you're gone.
Sorry, but I was impressed with the two presidents' things. They were John Adams and Thomas Jefferson. John Adams' last words were, at least Jefferson survives, but he was wrong because Jefferson died 2 hours ago.
There you go. See, Danny knows. He's not going to take no
He's
truth 9/11.
He's a sharp, sharp kid who knows
this
how to cramp on a tease, I'll tell you that. Hey, Danny.
Yeah?
Where are you right now?
Beats the crap out of me, so I thought I'd stomp on your tease, bitch.
You're lost.
Well, no. Mm-hmm. I'm exactly where the directions are. See, when you take a motorcycle mm-hmm. with handwritten directions, the only way to read them is to staple them to your scrotum.
Mm-hmm.
So then you can read them. So I'm reading them, and I won't give out my exact directions, but it starts out with head west on Wilshire Boulevard and then right on Beverly Drive. And then it continues with left on this street, right on that street, continue on this, go up that street, and then it says, right at fork in the road.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, I unstaple from said sack mm-hmm. to flip the page.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where it stops.
It stops at right at fork in the road.
Sounds like Art Ferns giving you directions.
Basically, it took Yogi Berra's advice. When it comes to a fork in the road, take it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, at least you didn't get to the sloth and cutoff.
Cut-off.
Be nothing to staple those directions
just
to.
Please tell me nothing's happened to the bagels that you brought for Victoria and David.
No, the bagels are fine and in my saddlebag.
Okay.
My dignity's attached to
those. Yeah, Teresa's Jewish, so those are like her children.
Those are my babies.
She weeps whenever a bagel goes stale or gets destroyed. Hey, Danny, well then, we'll put you on hold. We'll take a break. We'll talk to Angie. We'll see if we can move you a little closer to the Beckham estate.
Because I am looking down a hill at the end of the street, comes to a dead end, but I am looking down a hill at houses that average 25,000 to 40,000 square feet. I'm guessing they're down there.
Well, there should be some paparazzi around. Shouldn't there be?
Yeah.
They should be staked out. So we'll look for the group of paparazzi. Hang tight, Danny. Norm MacDonald here. Fiona, hot phone screener, potential phone screener from Australia in next. Norm, hang out. We'll be back.
This is the Adam Carolla Show.
I'm trying to be a better person now. You ever try to do that? I give a guy some money out there, a homeless guy in the street, and he had a dog with him. That kind of out there. Guy got no home, you know, but he's got a dog. No. And the dog's really thrilled with this idea, you know. Dog's going, hey, pal, I can do this by myself pretty well here, you know. You're the longest walk in the world you got me on here. What the hell?
Now more with Norm MacDonald on the Adam Carolla Show.
Norm MacDonald. once every 6 months, someone thinks I'm Norm MacDonald.
Yeah, I can see that. No, I think you have a similar build.
I get that all the time.
And you get the Norm MacDonald?
No. No, you.
You do.
They go, how's Jimmy? Say hi to Jimmy.
How are the Chuggies?
Really?
Exactly.
All right. Yeah, I get the Norm MacDonald, and I'm flattered by it. Look, when you get the, you're this guy, one time a hot chick said, you look like Elliot Gould, and I was like, oh, Christ, because what are the chances you want to screw Elliot Gould?
Oh, I thought that would be a cool one.
It would have been cool if she wasn't 19.
Norm is very cool.
She probably met a young Elliot Gould.
Right, that's what she meant.
No? She meant Rachel's father?
She meant an old, bloated Elliot Gould. Norm MacDonald in studio. We now have Fiona in studio as well. Fiona?
Good morning, all.
She's Australian. She wants to be our phone screener. What makes you uniquely qualified to be our phone screener, Fiona?
I've used a phone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Australian.
Mm-hmm.
We're just qualified for everything, really. The opportunity to work for you guys, wow. You know, I can't pass that up.
If I was Australian and I had a kid who was, you know, a C student, maybe a 5 out of 10, I would send him to the United States immediately because we're so enamored with you people.
Yeah.
You could be the boringest, worst human being in Australia, but you're a hero when you come here. So you do that. I have a friend. He's Australian. He's probably a douchebag in Australia, but here he's the coolest dude in the world.
Well, you know, we're replacing our phone screener, Kyle, because he's moving on to work at Jimmy Kimmel Live, and we've been inundated with people who would like to be our phone screener.
Yes.
Fiona called yesterday, and we fell in love with her.
Who screens these calls?
Again, because you're Australian.
Exactly. Well, you know, enough of the compliments there. But your government actually sent me over here. I won the green card lottery, so
really?
I had to come. I didn't want to leave. No,
I won the lottery, too.
You did.
You too.
It would be a nice
car. I won that lottery. Yeah.
To think I had something in common with Norm MacDonald.
It's a good deal, right?
So
Fiona,
what is your backstory? How does it go for you? How long have you been here? Where do you come from in Australia?
Yeah,
and so on and so forth.
Okay. I'm from Melbourne, which is the southern tip below Sydney in some regards.
Huh?
Then I've been over here for a year and a half. And I'm working in travel, but I was, I think I said yesterday, in radio in Melbourne, mainly behind the scenes, writing commercials and all that. But, like, you know, in radio, you get to do a whole lot of other jobs as well.
This seems like a lateral step for you at best, being a phone screener on this show. I mean, it's, what is it, $8.25 an hour?
It's $8.50, no benefits.
$8.50 an hour, which is too much for Kyle, but it's a lot, but it's not enough for qualified people.
I knew you'd say that. Like, yes. Maybe you're overqualified, right. But radio's in your blood. And if Danny was here, obviously he was too scared to be here now that I'm in his chair, or at least two rows down.
I just stumbled onto something. Olivia Newton-John is from Australia, right?
Yeah.
Now, wasn't Danny the name of...
Danny Zuko.
Danny Zuko, wasn't that Travolta's character from Grease?
Yeah.
So just to hear you go, Danny said, and Danny this, and Danny, like, say Danny. Something like, Danny, we're going to the beach. Yeah, let's hear.
Danny, we're going to the beach.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're the one that I want, baby.
Grease
come
in
on,
your pants.
Sing it. I got pubes, they're blazing red, and I'm losing my voice. I got a hog. I'm on the way to the Beckham's house. It's not my choice.
I like your
come on, Fiona. Pile in.
And we've got Jews.
Thank you.
Like Teresa. And gee, guys, it's great to see ya.
All right.
Nice.
Wow, all right.
I like the cut of her jib. And you know what I liked? When she came in here, she walked right up and shook your hand, Adam.
Yeah,
a lot of
like
people
that.
Are intimidated, and they don't do that.
Yeah. Oh, no, I do appreciate that. Brian gets Purell, but yes, I do appreciate that. All right, so definitely one of the leaders in the clubhouse. Norm, what do you think?
I think she's great. Plus, I think it's such a great voice on a telephone.
Yeah,
that is true.
Are you? Would you be okay helping me in the morning look up facts? I sometimes have Kyle help me Google. Fact check and confirm information. Would you be able to do that?
I can Google. Yeah, absolutely.
The only thing I'm worried about is we're talking to Fiona, who's a potential phone screener for the show. And take this in the spirit in which it's intended. You got a little
brace
bit
yourself.
Of a crazed look to you. You got a little.
It's
little.
Early. I've got a crazed look.
What
What's a crazed look?
Tracy
like
Metro.
Like a thyroid condition.
Yeah, there's something going on. I don't know what it is, but as a, well, let's put it this way. You know when you're at the park and a dog comes up to you, and as the dog's walking toward you, you have to assess, is the dog going to bite me,
right.
Or does the dog want me to throw the tennis ball? You know what I mean? I would start heading for high ground if you were that dog. I would think to myself, something's up with this dog. Now, sometimes you're wrong. Sometimes it turns out to be a nice dog, but I trust my instincts. I mean, let me just size you up. Could you stand up, please?
Could I stand up? Hang on, I have to move the microphone now if I'm going to talk.
Mm-hmm.
I'm only 5'3". I'm not threatening at all. I have good references.
Okay.
But say I'm not crazy.
And in a chilling twist,
I had
he made love to the corpse.
Mm-hmm. I had a tiny moment of that, too, and then I let it pass. It went away from me.
Mm-hmm.
There was a tiny moment when I first saw Fiona where I had the thing, like, maybe I should cross the street from the dog.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she's a nice dog.
Okay.
You can pet her behind the ear. She's fine.
Yeah.
So you're just a lab that wants a little attention.
Yeah, exactly.
Not a lab that's going to tell my boss I tried to rape you 6 months from now.
No. And that's not why I left Australia.
Not a lab that urinates in my coffee when I ask for a warm-up.
Not
one
unless
of those
that's
labs.
A requirement of the job. No.
All right, Fiona.
I'll sit down.
All right, please. Uh-oh. Just saw Ron Jeremy walking
and Dennis
into
Hoff.
The green room.
Cat house.
That's
dude.
A lot of love. That's
talk
a lot
about
of love.
Crazy.
Woo! All right, Norm MacDonald in studio. You know what, Fiona?
Yes.
Why don't you excuse yourself so we can talk about you behind your back?
Fiona, it takes a lot of courage
thank
to come
you.
In here, and you're very, very charming and obviously quite smart. Thanks, Teresa.
Yes, and I do agree with Norm that the accent is a nice plus when you pick up the phone.
It makes us sound classy when people call us.
Agreed. Now, do you have some emails there, T?
Oh, the emails are pouring in, and they're a delight. Would you like to hear a couple of them?
Yeah. Everyone wants the phone screener job until they get the phone screener job, and then no one wants the phone screener job.
That's
how it works.
Yes. My agent called yesterday and said some people from the office want that phone screener job. They're going to be
does a phone screener like get in trouble if the guy says something different than what he's supposed to say.
They should, but we don't care on this show. But normally, yeah, they should. And also, I do remember when I started in radio about 3 weeks after I started just doing stuff on K-Rock, a van driver job opened up at the radio station. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to be the world's oldest van driver. This is going to be awesome. And Kimmel said, no. Don't be the van driver. And I said, why not? So, you know, $7 an hour. It's a regular gig. I'll get in at the station. He said, if you become the van driver, then you're the van driver.
Right.
And they'll always look at you as the van driver. Yeah. And if you ever do get paid, you'll always get paid based on you're getting paid a lot for an ex-van driver.
I actually think this phone screener position has proven to be a launch pad because Kyle was an intern. He was a big fan of Adam. He came here, and then he became the phone screener, which is a paid position. And now he's a PA at Jimmy Kimmel's show.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. What an arc.
He's 20. Listen, Norm. He's 21 years old. I mean, he's a kid. That's a good job for a 21-year-old. Yeah. He has health insurance over there.
What's next, van driver?
Yeah. He's got an arc like a rope bridge.
Listen, at 21, I was working at Houlihan's, so it all seems glamorous.
What an arc. That's right. Look at that. You know what? A few short weeks ago, he's making $8.50 on this show. Now he's making $8.35 over at Kimmel.
He has benefits.
Sure.
That's nice. Well, you want to hear from some of the other people?
He has dental, but just the upper teeth. That's the way they do it over
you
Kimmel.
You don't see the lowers.
They let you pick. You want upper or lower when you fill out your paperwork.
Do you want to hear from some of the people? Okay,
I would.
This is Kelly Diaz.
Mm.
And she or he, I'm assuming it's a she now that I'm reading it. I'm moving out west from New York to pursue a career in untraditional adult entertainment. I have very unusually shaped nipples that I was told I can make a career out of. Long story.
Mm.
I have experience with operating not only traditional phones, but also pay phones and cell phones.
With the nipples, or is she using her hands at this point?
Well,
wait a minute. Hold on. I'm not done reeling over this very provocative.
I don't know that phrase.
Unconventional
unusually
nipples.
Unusually shaped nipples.
No, but untraditionally.
Untraditional adult porn. I haven't heard
that
of that either.
What does that mean?
Untraditional adult porn. I guess maybe.
I like the I'm a traditionalist.
Norm old fashioned.
Yeah.
Right.
But Norm goes at his junk one hand at a time, thank you.
I like
He's old school.
I like the porno where the guy's just lying on top of the lady.
Okay, I'm kind of for that one, too.
Here's a 19-year-old, so hopefully he won't be overqualified. His name's Chris.
Mm-hmm.
He says, my job sucks, and I was forged by the gods for this job. I'm 19 and want to work in radio. I'm just reading it as is.
Mm-hmm.
Wants to either want to work in radio or be a fireman.
Same gig.
I work for MySpace and attend East Los Angeles College. Pick me.
All right. Well, let me just do some quick college math. Junior college. Smart to leave the junior or the community off the college, but East Los Angeles College is a junior college, so that's a strike. I am fascinated by this nipple queen now. I want to know what she does with these nipples.
Let's call her up. We have her information.
Is she out here? She moved out from New York?
She's en route from New York to pursue a career in untraditional adult entertainment.
That, you know, as a father, hearing your daughter went into porn is a bad enough day, but untraditional porn, it's like non-union porn. I'm doing porn the other porn stars refuse to do.
Kelly is currently living in New York, so it'd be 3 hours later. We should call her. Born in 85.
Let's
see if we can get in touch with her and find out about the nips.
I would love to, I don't know why you gotta weave the Asians into this, T, when we're talking about body parts.
I meant her nipples.
Oh. Yeah, I know. Norm MacDonald in studio, by the way. Norm, you want to hang out for one more break?
Sure, however long you want.
How do you feel about that?
Ah, it's fun in here.
You picked a hell of a day. Bonaducci is off on his hog. He's looking for...
Oh, he's arrived.
Oh, he's arrived.
Well, should we take a break and then talk to him?
How'd you know that?
Let's check in.
I can
in.
See on the computer.
Let's check in. Danny?
Yes, sir.
You've arrived at the Beckham residence?
I am at the Beckham residence. And to add that, so far... My arrival at the Beckham residence seems to be the story.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the paparazzi are noticing?
Actually, one of the paparazzi guys over here said he was listening to the show, and he said, oh, are you going to call Adam? I've got his cell phone number right here.
Really?
What? Swear to
God, which one of you guys had Adam's cell phone? You? Hold on a second. Come here, man. Don't be a big English pussy. Come here.
Right. Adam, this is radio.
Hello, Adam.
Hmm.
Hey, Adam, how you doing?
Good. Where are you from?
Me. I'm from Marina Del Rey.
All right. Oh.
Sound like a surfer
yeah.
guy.
I was going to go Iowa. Hey, can you call? Can you call? How do you have my cell phone number?
I don't, but I just love winding Danny up.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Yeah, Danny's pretty easy fiddle to play. All right, well then give him the phone back and stop wasting everyone's time. Hey, Danny.
Well, I'm just going to sit out here and get high with the paparazzi.
Please,
for a while.
He was tugging on your chain. Is there any movement? Is there anything going on at the Beckham house?
Nothing. Nothing. There's a couple of Brits and an Asian guy hanging out doing nothing.
Well, hang out and tell the Asian guy not to take any offense at Teresa's off-color joke.
Is there any way you can get those bagels to Beckham?
I don't know. Let me ask you. Paparazzi have been taking this place out. My mission is to deliver bagels to Beckham. Do you see any possible way to deliver the bagels to Beckham? You do. Oh, you're the dick with Adam's phone number. I don't trust you anymore.
Well, if anyone can do it, it's Danny.
Yeah.
True. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking if I have to scale a wall, that's what I got to do.
I say we're going to win the Marconi for sure this year with the bagels to Beckham, boy. Hey,
can
Danny.
We get a Peabody?
Yeah, hold tight there, Bonaducci. We'll check in with Danny, who's over at the Beckham place. We have Norm MacDonald in studio. Norm is going to be at the Brea Improv tonight through Sunday. Two shows, Friday and Saturday night. Improv.com is where you go for more information. We need to take a break. We have a listener, Natalie.
Oh.
Natalie.
Oh, no.
Natalie's a little nutty.
A little? I've been deluged with emails from this lady.
From Natalie.
Yes, she's in love with you. She's very, very concerned that your wife's going to get jealous, and she wants to get a tattoo of her signature.
Let me explain my wife and...
This is what you woke me up for.
My wife, it used to be, before we had the kids, my dog Molly was number one, and then I was a distant second. Now we have the twins, and there's still Molly, and then there's Olga, the nanny.
Yeah.
So I'm in fifth or sixth place behind the guy who cleans the pool at my house. Don't worry about the old lady. We'll bring her in. Well, not my wife. We'll bring Natalie, and she's going to get a tattoo of my signature.
Right here in the studio?
Right here in the studio, and right there on her belly?
I think she wants it on her belly.
Norm MacDonald in studio. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with Natalie, who's... Am I looking at Natalie? She's easy on the eyes?
No, that's the girl from with Dennis Hoff from Cat House. The blonde?
The brunette who's got her hair pulled back in a ponytail.
Yes, that's Natalie.
She's a good-looking girl.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
But she's nuts.
She just really loves you, and that doesn't make a girl crazy.
What is that? Yes. Why is that grounds for insanity?
I've received a lot of emails. So has Bald Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Please, you know what I'm saying.
She's persistent.
Thank you.
We'll bring her in next.
Hello, folks. This is Henry Rollins, and if you want to speak to Adam up close and personal, that number is 866-901-ADAM, and he's all yours.
Well, let's see. Danny Bonaducci out at the Beckham Palace. Norm MacDonald slowly meandering back toward the studio.
Milwaukee.
Making a little small talk with Assistant Jay. He's going to be at the Brea Improv tonight. Through Sunday night. Now, let's see. Natalie. What's happening, my dear?
Not too much, Adam.
Natalie is attractive.
Yes, now that she's sitting here, I'm getting a good look at her. She's very fresh-faced and wholesome and tall. She looks like Nancy Kerrigan.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I
skater.
Say.
Marginally, a little bit insane, possibly.
Is everybody? I don't know.
You know, a lot of nutty people answer with, aren't we all a little insane? And the answer, no, not really.
No, actually, I think that the nutty people answer with, absolutely not.
Ah.
They deny it.
I see.
Yeah.
Natalie, how long have you been a fan of Adam's?
Probably, maybe, like a hardcore fan, probably a year and a half.
Year and a half.
Yeah.
And why? What prompted you to become such a fan?
Probably because I've had this mindset since I can remember, and I've never met somebody that had anything close to my mindset, and I feel like you have...
We're kindred spirits.
Exactly. Oh, same, yeah. Same wavelength.
That's crazy.
Well, we should mention that Peter's son from Resurrection Tattoo is setting up his machine, and he's about to tattoo. Mm-hmm. Adam's going to take a Sharpie and put his signature on Natalie's stomach, and it's going to be tattooed there. A very big step, Natalie.
Yes, it is, but I'm totally excited, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And
you know what I find, Adam, sometimes when people... Because you do comedy, mm-hmm. and sometimes people feel they're on the same wavelength as you, but you're doing comedy.
Right.
And they actually think that way.
Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
It's a decent point. Yeah, you're saying this bum said to me yesterday he hadn't had a bite in a week, so I bit him, and you're thinking, hey, I bite homeless people, too. And you're going, sweetie, that was a joke.
Yeah. Natalie, is this
is
your
that
first...
what's happening, Natalie? Did you bite the homeless?
No.
Is this your
like
first
that.
Tattoo?
Yes, it is. I don't have any tattoos.
Well, you know, wow. I'm really flattered because a lot of people that are tatted up are just sort of tatted up and what's
They'll
one
right.
more. Yeah, sure. But you're no Steve-O.
No.
I mean, your body's pristine.
Yes.
What about future relationships when you're intimate and you have a tattoo of Adam's signature?
Hey, it gives him something to aim for. I mean, emotionally.
Right.
I mean, to be a great comedian.
To be on the same level.
I don't mean.
Well, I look at it as he's married and he has kids, so it's nothing like, you know.
Right.
If Adam were not married, do you think you guys would be a good romantic couple?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Are you attracted to Adam?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Do you cook?
Not really.
Right.
I do all the other
female...
Good news
is I'm used to that.
Yeah, see? There you go.
Yeah, there'd be no transition period to you at all. It'd be a very smooth transition into you not cooking.
How old are you?
I'm 22.
So you're saying if the brakes failed in my wife's car and there was an opening for a new Mrs. Carolla,
I'm there in a heartbeat.
You'd flow right in.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Now, what do you think the life would be like for us? Because... If you talk to my wife, she'd explain it's nonstop complaining with me. That's all I do is complain.
Yes. I actually kind of am a complainer, too. And I don't mind it at all. So,
you know.
No.
And my children, you would raise them as if they were your own?
As if they were my own.
Because I'm raising them like a stepdad.
Yeah. You're raising them like the guy next door.
You don't have to raise your kids like they're your own. And then what about all the step-parents who raised... your kids is their own. Well, shouldn't you do the math and raise every once in a while you raise your kids like a step parent, even when you're a biological
Natalie,
parent?
You were at the premiere of Adam's movie The Hammer.
I was, yes.
What did you think of it?
Nice, Brian. Thanks a lot. I thought it was an awesome, awesome movie.
Mm-hmm.
I was thoroughly, honestly impressed. I really was.
Really?
And you fell
yes.
even more in love with Adam.
I sure did. Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, when we first got in touch with you, or you got in touch with us, you had a boyfriend.
I did.
What happened?
We kind of...
Guy with the butterfly net finally got to him. Knocked his Napoleon hat off and took him right in. What happened to him?
It had been kind of rocky. Like, we had argued a lot.
Hold on, Teresa, that's not funny.
Sorry.
Show some respect.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we were kind of arguing a lot, and and I am overly overly analytic.
Are you passionate? I'm a passionate person.
Oh, yeah. I'm very, like, overly opinionated and overly analytical, and I think that kind of got to him, too. So it was a mutual thing.
Do you think he was upset that you're obsessed with Adam?
No, not at all. I don't, well, I hope not. I don't think so.
Well, Natalie, a lot of people mistake me for Norm MacDonald and vice versa. I have a couple of kids. I'm married. Norm.
Are you single?
He's married to his computer. He's single as the day is long. Look, he's no Adam Carolla, let's be honest with you.
Natalie, Norm is very good
any port in a storm, right? I mean,
no, Norm is a hot guy.
Yeah, he's pretty good looking, actually.
All right.
Yeah.
Listen, it's far be it for me to offer up Norm as a, you know, facsimile of the Ace Man.
Norm, what say you?
I don't even get my own stalker. I think that's someone else.
Sloppy stalkers.
Yeah. He's passing me off onto you.
Norm, your stalker is getting a little long in the tooth. Natalie's young, fresh. She's 22.
Listen, Norm, Elliot Gould has a stalker. You can
come
have
on.
Her.
I've had four stalkers, and three of them have been dudes.
All right.
Natalie's beautiful.
No, Natalie's a beautiful girl.
All right. Well, I'm just saying, Norm is single.
She's very fresh face.
Yeah. Oh,
fresh clean scrubbed. Yeah.
That's what you want. You
freckles?
Want, she's got the new stalker smell.
She's 22.
You don't want a high mileage stalker. Norm, are you married? Are you with somebody?
No.
Are you dating anybody?
No.
How can that be?
I'm just so busy. I only have enough love for my children and my cat.
Well, what do you think, Natalie? Again, or maybe we could split you up. We'll do like a timeshare stalking thing. Right. You know what I mean? I'll stalk. You can stalk me Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Take Norm on the weekends. He's got a couple of shows at the Bray Improv. You go out.
You want to go to his show tonight? At the Bray Improv?
No, she's just...
What do you mean,
Norm?
You can
have a cocktail afterward?
Yeah, really get to know your master.
Two shows Friday and Saturday.
Mm. You know, that'd be fun, but it's kind of a long commute for me.
Yeah, it's a little
It's not too long to go see Adam.
Well, this was kind of a one-time thing, I think. I don't think Adam plans on getting a divorce anytime soon, so...
what do you mean by soon?
Define soon.
Yeah, 6 months?
Maybe a year next year.
No, you should be able to wait.
I know, I would
sea.
Wait, actually.
Yeah.
I would.
How long will you wait for Adam to get a divorce?
10 years.
10 years?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Over or under is 4.5.
There
please,
you go.
You're in. I'll be married 2 more times before I get to you.
I'm a little concerned. You guys are going to be angry, but I'm a little concerned about this tattoo.
Mm. Well, so is Gary online, too. Gary?
Yeah, I'm in a bad area now.
You don't? Me, too.
Are you in Natalie's mind?
Between Norm MacDonald, my stalker.
Dude. Tattoo.
Oh.
All right, well, it says on the screen, don't let her do it. And look, I agree. Maybe, let's see, Natalie, you're a big Adam Carolla fan, but, you know, Adam Carolla today, David Spade tomorrow, Geechee guy. Saturday. I know how you fickle stalkers are. The point is are you going to get a...
Who is Geechee guy?
He's a horrible stand-up. He's a bad stand-up. Me and Kimmel saw on a cruise we took 10 years ago to Mexico. The boy.
Stop with these cutting-edge references.
I only said that to crack Norm MacDonald up.
Give me a break.
No, because Geechee guy once told me, told me that he was on a show called Comic Strip Live. He goes, I was excited because I got my first fan letter ever. And he said, but then when I opened it, it was from a lady who said that her son had the same bone disease that I have.
Well, there you go. Man.
Geechee guy did not know he had a bone disease at that time.
Well, you have to find out.
Some
people find out from doctors, others find out from fans. So, Natalie, here's what I worry about. I worry that we're taking advantage of you, that you possibly are impaired is a strong word, but there's issues. Perhaps you have emotional issues, and that if you were thinking a little more, a little more clarity,
long-term.
You wouldn't go through with this tattoo. Right.
Yeah, just have him play Misty for
Listen,
you.
Listen, this is pressure because Peter's son, a tattoo artist, is standing here 5 feet from you, ready to tattoo you. But don't be pressured because this is a lifetime decision.
And by the way, Peter.
And what happens if Adam fizzles into oblivion?
That's right. Let's just say, they flip formats over here at the station. Next thing you know, I'm on a celebrity fit club, and then it's right back to construction, and you're walking around with a tattoo with some carpenter on your belly. You know what I mean?
You bet on the wrong horse right
now. Yeah.
Well, you're already not a carpenter.
And you're at the beach, and people are like, who's Adam? Who's Alan? And, like, they don't know what the name is anymore because you crapped out a few kids, and you got stretch marks now over my name. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, my mom mentioned that. She's like, you know what that tattoo's going to look like when you have kids?
Mm-hmm.
But
Adam's kids.
I'm not. That's right.
Are we?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I'm not sure if you can take me by force, but if you want to try.
Natalie, are you currently on any medications?
I am.
Mm. Which ones?
I would rather not say.
But they're medications.
Psychotropic.
I would rather not say.
Paxil.
I have no comment.
Is it a serotonin reuptake inhibitor?
Sounds like you have a mental problem.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Brian. I have no comment.
I'm the last person to judge you. I'm just asking.
Yeah. No, I'd have no comment.
All right. Well, let me.
Are you under treatment by a professional?
No.
But Teresa, you see 3 shrinks a day, right? There's one under the console as we speak.
On Friday, it's 5.
Right. All right.
I know what you think. She's schizophrenic.
No, I'm just concerned. I don't think she's schizophrenic. I was thinking bipolar.
Mm-hmm. Troubled individual.
All right, well, hang on. I need to do some soul searching, and I kind of like to hear from you people, too, because there's a part. I know what Teresa's saying.
We shouldn't take advantage. I mean, this is obviously a smart, charming, beautiful, sweet girl, but she may be not taking her medication properly.
Also, mm-hmm. if you're going to get your first tattoo, why would you have it on your belly?
That's a decent point. What if we put it somewhere else?
Yeah.
Like your forehead. And you know what else is funny, too? Peter Sun is the name of the guy who's going to do the tattoo or the alleged tattoo on Natalie. Peter, make your way toward a microphone, if you would. I don't know what kind of sense of humor your folks have or if they're fans of the Karate Kid movie series, but do you have a brother named Daniel?
No, I don't.
Because that would really work nicely.
Oh, he has little tattoos where his eyebrows would be.
Wow.
And they say, what do they say?
I have massive eyebrows where my eyebrows should be.
What are those names?
It's Leas and Keeley.
Are those your kids?
Right.
Oh. Jesus, cool. No way my dad would do that.
Tattoo
That's sweet.
Your name right there.
All right, Danielson, hang on a second. Natalie, sit tight. I'm going to do a little soul searching.
Janine Garofalo has a tattoo on her hand that says, think.
Really?
Can you imagine?
You have to remind yourself.
This is great.
She's officially insane. Norm MacDonald. And when Norm MacDonald's calling you nuts, it's time to check yourself in.
You won't be nuts if you go see Norm MacDonald at the Bray Improv tonight or Sunday.
Bonaducci. Ah, good plug. Norm, can you hang out? Can you hang out one more break?
It's like a Chuck Woolery.
I'm trying to help a brother out.
Norm, you've been up 23 hours. You want to just go for 24 and hang out for one more break?
Yeah,
all right,
fine.
Norm MacDonald's here. Bonaducci is over at the Beckham Manor. I think we'll say hi to him and then probably get him back here. Natalie is a young fan, going to get a tattoo of my signature on her belly. We'll take a vote. I'll put it to a vote. Because
Are we taking calls?
We'll take some calls. I'll ask the people in the room because I really do have mixed feelings about it. On the other hand, it's funny radio to get her tatted up. On the other hand, I feel like we're taking advantage of her.
Well, hold your wee for a wee was funny.
It's good times. True. We'll take ourselves a quick break. Be back with the answer to these questions next. Ah, yes. HBO.
Voyeur.
Voyeur. That's right. HBO. Voyeur. V-O-Y-E-U-R.
It's a website.
What do you do? Well, you punch that into your computer, and then you look in on the lives of others. It's an apartment building. It's sort of the facade, the profile of an apartment building, but it's cut away.
Yeah.
And you can go into each room, and you can see what the couples are doing.
And now you can actually read about them on this website, which is incredibly artfully done. You have to see it for yourself. You can click on the windows that are lit up, and you see the stories unfolding, and now you can go on thestorygetsdeeper.com and read the backstory.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and again, it's HBO.
Yeah, most Emmy nominations they got today.
200,000 Emmy nominations they got today.
Easily.
It's HBO. It's their website. Do you think they're going to screw it up? Impossible. If you're a fan, you'll go to HBOvoyeur.com.
Smart car shoppers, don't kill your gas mileage. Get to AutoZone today.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
More of the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci in less than a minute. Live from the Miller Lite Lounge, this is 97.1 KLSX, Free FM.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. In case you're just joining us, listener Natalie wants to get a tattoo of Adam Carolla's signature on her stomach. And the Ace Man's not quite sure what to think about it, so he'd like your input at 866-901-ADAM. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Norm MacDonald in studio, going to be at the Bray Improv tonight through Sunday. Also, Natalie, crazed stalker, but how crazy can you be if you're a huge fan of mine?
Well, that would point to sanity, but the medication and the treatment might point to some insanity.
Mm-hmm.
Well, most of this country's on medication, am I right?
Yes. It's just, you know, this is a very big decision.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, the people that are really dangerous are the ones that are not on medication.
Agreed.
Yeah.
You always hear about the guy flipping out because he didn't take his meds.
Have you ever been hospitalized?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For psychological trouble?
No comment.
Well, people can
kind of
have...
like a dog whisperer. How are these things?
Let me tell you what happened with the hospitalization. She saw an episode of The Man Show.
Yep.
A giant heart bubble formed above her head, broke loose, and crushed her. That's right. She had to be hospitalized.
I was wondering why it's only the last year and a half she's been a hardcore fan.
Yeah, it's recent.
That's the start of the beginning of this show, probably, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lot would say the end. Yes.
So the radio, because they always say, like, the radio is
a
like
hot medium.
It's a hot one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But it's very intimate, like, right? It gets right into your
right.
That's what Marshall McLuhan said.
That's when it got, is that when you got bit by the atom bug?
Yes, indeed.
All right, hang on a second. Danny?
Yes, sir.
You're over at the Beckham Palace?
I am indeed. David Beckham has just driven by. Paparazzi seemed to know everything. I said, well, what do you guys do now? And a bunch of them took off, and they left a couple here for a posh.
Mm-hmm.
They said, well, first he'll go to Coffee Bean on Sunset, and then he'll go to Home Depot place of practice. And sure enough, they just got their call, and he's at Coffee Bean.
So one half the paparazzi's been dispatched to follow Beckham, the other staying back at the manor to keep an eye on Posh.
No, I got the one limey that has your phone number, and that's it. Everybody else is gone.
All right, so there's not much going on.
Here's what I've been told, which may make it worth it, that I'm there with a girl on less meds than I, who won't comment on her mental hospitalization, and I got plenty of stories.
Yes.
But I've been told that if I ride up that driveway in my helmet, sunglasses, and leathers, I should be jumped by bodyguards about halfway up, and that should be worth it.
Do it.
All right. Cool. Are you going to do it?
Cool.
All right. So,
yeah.
Danny, are you on the motorcycle now, or do you have
to get to it? Ready to go.
All right. So fire that up. Now head up the driveway. That's it. All right.
Well,
I'm going to put him on hold for a second. I don't know if you guys saw White Line Fever with Jan Michael Vincent, but that's the move I want.
After this, he may look like Jan Michael Vincent today.
Yeah. Talk about crazy. Yeah. All right, Danny, you heading up the driveway?
Yeah, here we go, guys.
Here we go. It's like Robbie Knievel. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
He's crazy, man.
Jump a celebrity. So you're going up the driveway of the Beckham house.
Yeah,
how much security do you think there is there?
I just pushed the button. Hang on.
Pushing the gate box.
Hi, this is Danny Bonaducci. I got a delivery of bagels.
You ready to come down and get them?
If you'd like to come down, or I can come up. I'm on the bike.
You can't come up. We don't have you on the list. So you can either drop them at the gate.
You're telling me you do not have Bonaducci's bagels on the list?
I definitely do not have Bonaducci bagels on the list. Sorry.
Dude, the Beckhams are going to be very upset if they don't get their bagels.
I'm sure they will, but there's nothing I can do about that. You can leave them by the gate or feed them yourself.
Hey, let's not get off study. I'm here. I'll deliver the bagels to you. Come on down and get them.
All right.
All right.
Hang on a second, Bonaducci. The guy's like, I got Bonaducci and a bunch of Jews down at the front of the driveway.
No, he means actual bagels.
Huh? Anyway, wants me to come down there and meet them.
I don't know
if they're producers. I don't know what's going on.
Maybe they're bankers.
I better get down there. There could be some jewelers down there, some bankers, some producers.
Wait. Why is he saying this?
He said bagels. Come on, no.
Oh, okay.
You're Canadian.
No,
I thought
Beckham was maybe a famous anti-Semite or something.
No, I am.
This is the funniest term I ever heard for a Jewish guy.
A bagel?
This guy told me.
Please watch yourself.
When I was a kid.
Please.
It may have been a relative of mine, but he called them bearded New Yorkers. know what it meant, but
you should. That would be a thing if you said fast talking bearded New Yorkers.
Fast talking.
Hey, Danny,
diamond merchants.
Are you? Are you
usurious?
Are you waiting down there for the Beckham security to come collect your bagels?
I was waiting for them to bag my bagels, yeah.
All right, and the guy doesn't look like Beckham's in there. Posh maybe floating around somewhere?
No, Beckham was on his way to the Home Depot Stadium after leaving the Coffee Bean on Sunset Boulevard.
He's going to practice.
Right, and Posh maybe still in the residence?
Oh, according to the paparazzi that are still here,
right,
who are actually standing across the street hoping to get a picture of me getting my ass kicked.
Oh.
Now... Wow. The guy's heading down there now, so it should be just moments before he opens the gate and gets your bagels, right?
Well, that would imply that he wasn't just lying.
Well, can you bum rush him and get past him?
Well, I bet money I could.
Come on.
Yeah, but then what?
How morning zoo can we get?
Yeah.
Well, dude, I'll set the guy on fire for a raise.
All right, I'm going to, let's see, I'm trying to figure this out.
Do you remember that bit you did where you gave out $10,000 for the best booking?
Yeah.
Right.
What if I set this bitch bodyguard on fire?
That'd be good for it. That would be good for at least $10,000, yes.
Yeah. Hello? Hello?
He had the speaker on, was listening to Danny the whole time.
Yeah, hello?
Yeah, I'm talking. You hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you for just fine, thank you.
Yeah, somebody's going to be coming down, actually coming up behind you from the gate.
They're coming up behind me.
Uh-oh.
Oh, holy Toledo. All right.
There you go.
Here we go.
Listen.
I will bail out Bonaducci.
If you're going to shoot Bonaducci, hello? Go for the head.
How are you, sir? Is Danny Bonaducci from Bonaducci's Bagels? Bagels? Come here, Bagels. Bagels. Wow, thank you. Well, the delivered is, welcome to the neighborhood.
Welcome to the neighborhood, all right.
Thank you very much.
No problem.
All right, it was a pleasure talking to you. You look like Beckham, a little bit. You're a handsome young man.
All right.
For a man in a flak vest.
Oh, yeah, he's wearing a Kevlar vest. Hey, Danny?
Yeah?
He stole your bagels?
He didn't steal my bagels. The man works here, for God's sake.
All right, but you delivered them?
No, they are delivered.
And the arsenic's in the bagels?
Yes.
All right, Danny. Hey, Danny.
Yeah.
Fire up the hog and head on back to the studio.
Okay.
Because we got Ron Jeremy here and Dennis Hoff from the Bunny Ranch, and they're both fans.
You know what? I wanted to get a tattoo, actually.
Oh, really? All right. Yeah. Well, come on back, because I just got handed a note that said Adam Sandler's going to be calling in the next 10 or 20 minutes, and that was 8-10 minutes ago, so that should be happening. Norm MacDonald, pound for pound, best gambling-addicted comedian since Skeechy Guy, is in studio. And then there's Natalie. Natalie has been institutionalized. Is on medications, possibly serotonin reuptake inhibitors.
And I'm crazy in a rabbit's ass.
I think she's probably a bipolar.
No.
Mm-hmm. No, schizophrenic.
Mm-hmm. No. All right, let's see. Let's
just depressed?
She probably had the public depressed.
Okay,
point.
Just depressed. That makes me less nervous.
Mike?
Yeah.
What do you think we should do with Natalie? Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, Corolla guy's one thing, but, you know, get a portrait of the Bertram puppet, you know?
She's a recent fan. She probably doesn't know Bertram as well.
Well, the Velvet Buzzsaw, you know? I mean, that's forever.
All right. You know? All right, so you want the tattoo, you just don't want another signature. Yeah, I got some people want my face instead of the signature.
Can we talk to line four?
Jason? Jason?
Yeah, what's up?
What do you want to say to Natalie?
Well, you know, Natalie, I'm covered in tattoos, and I've been getting tattooed for a long time, and I always had to put a lot of thought into it, and getting tattooed is great, man, but get something that's, you know, cool, sick, and demented. Don't just tattoo Adams. He's a great guy. He's a funny guy, but he's right. You know, years from now.
So, Jason, you're saying before you got that tattoo of E.T. wearing the Prussian helmet, you did some soul searching?
I did a lot of soul searching, that's right.
What's the most retarded tattoo you have?
It's a little Martian in a spaceship crashing back on in flames.
You got a Martian?
Yeah.
Okay. And that signifies what other than you're an idiot? All right, look. I'm gonna ask because I feel bad, and I also feel like there's a potential lawsuit waiting to happen
well,
here.
Well, she's 22.
She's 22. Natalie, seriously, how do you feel? Do you really want to go through with this, or did you just say to come in and, you know,
meet Adam,
bask in my glow?
No, I really want to do it.
You really want the tattoo?
Natalie, is he all you'd hoped in person? Is he what you thought he'd be?
Yeah. That and more.
Really? Really? So you
what if
want...
she got like a temp tat like for a henna? Couple weeks?
Yeah, what if I gave you like a henna? What if I signed my name with permanent marker and you lived with it for a week and then we tatted you up?
Let's try that.
Yeah. You want to try that?
Plus any signing on your body with his pen.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
you know what I'm getting at.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what he's getting at, but
well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like
an aphrodisiac.
Yeah, exactly.
It's almost like he's touching you.
They say the pen is mightier than the sword.
Adam, are you nervous to sign her?
No. What do you care? You know, people would ask me that, like, when I was doing my TV show and Steve-O was trying to strangle me. They're like, weren't you worried? I was like, no, I grew up in the Valley. Every person I hung out with attempted to strangle me at some point. Some still do.
Natalie, have you ever tried to take your own life?
Oh, my God.
No.
No.
Yeah, you're asking me quite the question.
How about a radio show?
I know,
this is radio.
It all starts from that you're like Adam Carolla.
Yeah, I know. And then we get to...
Are you ever trying to take your own life?
That's what we call an indicator. Do you hear voices?
That's what I'm saying.
Do you cut yourself?
That's
are you a fan of Carolla?
I'm trying to protect us all against litigation.
Norm MacDonald, did you join him on SNL News, or did you think Miller was funnier?
Have you given away your possessions?
No.
All right. Well, look, I feel bad because maybe you feel sane, but the doctors would beg to differ. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to sign your belly. I want you to live with it. All right. Don't shower for a week. Okay. Means you're going to have to miss one shower. Norm MacDonald in studio. That's a lot for Norm. Come over here. Let me sign your belly, Natalie. Hey, Peterson tattoo artist, can you hang tight over there? Hold on a second. This is not a fat Sharpie, Bald Brian.
By the way, Peter, it was very nice of you
to
come down here.
You're so lucky.
Peter's from Resurrection Tattoo in Pasadena.
Ooh. We're in a pink panty, are we?
Mm.
Ooh, we got that in common.
All right, he's signing.
Uh-oh, hold on.
What happened? It's not that easy to sign someone's belly, it turns out.
No.
That looks good.
While they're having a mind-shattering orgasm.
She is smiling
ear
to
ear. Wow, that's a little sloppy, but
no,
good
I like
enough.
It.
All right, now, put some cellophane over that, and if it's in the same shape a week from now, we'll have Peterson give you a lovely tattoo. Resurrection Tattoo in Pasadena, by the way. I want to give them a plug. No reason why they shouldn't get one. We'll take a quick break. Norm MacDonald hanging tough. We're going to break down the game film from To Catch a Predator last night. We have those clips lined up. Plus, the great Adam Sandler evidently is going to be calling in any moment as well. So we'll do all that next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Back to The Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser. From last night's To Catch a Predator.
The man in the SpongeBob jacket walks about 2.5 miles right past our street and gets lost.
It's time to break down the game film, To Catch a Predator, right now on The Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, contraceptive SpongeBob jacket. Norm MacDonald, getting a little feedback here. Norm MacDonald in studio. All right, let me set the table here. Norm MacDonald's here. He's going to be at the Bray Improv tonight through Sunday. Bonaducci on his hog, speeding back from the Beckham Palace. Adam Sandler on the show tomorrow morning, we've been promised. And now, Teresa Strasser with the breakdown on To Catch a Predator.
Yes, the NBC show made its triumphant return last night. They were catching predators in New Jersey. They had a new decoy, Casey.
I do all my pedophilia work while they're on hiatus.
Right. That's,
I got the schedule from a buddy over at NBC, and I'm like, when are they down? When are they black? And they're like, well, Chris takes his vacation during, and I'm like, all right, That's when I get busy.
Well, they caught 28 predators last night in New Jersey, including a 44-year-old man named Greg. Screen name, Who's Your Daddy, New Jersey?
Mm-hmm.
This is 44-year-old Gregory Stewart. Screen name, Who's Your Daddy, NJ. He's a credit and collections consultant who drove an hour and a half to get here. He thinks Casey is the 13-year-old he's been chatting with online, the girl whose virginity he planned on taking. The decoy asked Who's Your Daddy, NJ, to bring some pizza. He said he'd bring her favorite, Supreme, with pineapple.
Well, then, of course, the magic happens when Chris Hansen pops out and they have this discussion.
Well, Greg, what do you think ought to happen to you?
Please, if you let me go, I swear you can have the pizza, whatever I brought down.
Oh, you're going to give me the pizza?
No.
I always bring a pizza before I commit a crime. If I'm going to rob a bank, I'll bring a pizza in case I'm cornered by SWAT and I can offer the pizza up in order as exchange for my release.
Not a bad idea.
Holding the pizza hostage. I don't know what that crappy feedback is, but I hope it clears itself up. You know the problem with these guys is not only that's better. They have the most the real incriminating crap is in the cab of the truck they drove because
there's marijuana, condoms. There's...
Right. The guy opens the third door of the Extendo cab pickup and is swept down the street by an avalanche of water soluble lube. And it's like in hash pipes, sure. And it's like,
and rope. There's always rope.
First off, how many condoms do you need?
I know.
You don't want to. I know you're feeling pretty good about yourself, but do you need the case of condoms and all the D-cell batteries and the wind-up toys? And the real incrimination starts when they check. You're not going on a sexual camping trip. You're going to have sex with a 13-year-old in your mind once or twice, and then you're heading back. Why do you need to pack the keg of booze and all the toys and all the crap that's in the car? All right.
So one of the highlights.
So did Hansen bite on the pineapple exchange, or what happened?
No,
I didn't see it last night.
He didn't take the pizza. Last night, as always, there are a lot of interesting excuses that the guys make about, you know, why they were there. Yeah. It was a prank. They'd never do it again. It was a one time. They wanted to help the girl.
Yeah.
This one was interesting.
This swung by and just happened in.
This is Lover Man Genius, spelled Genuous.
Mm-hmm.
29-year-old gym manager, real big buff guy. It was a little scary because the decoy, a 95-pound, 5'2 girl who's 18 and looks 13 and plays 12 through 14. So you got nervous watching because this guy was really yoked.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, here he is explaining why he was there.
Give me a sense of what went on in your mind to make you one of those guys tonight.
Just bored and lonely. I mean, here's my thing. I know there's no excuse. You get caught up in a rut. You work 70 hours a week. Life is tough.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Maybe you should downgrade his handle to Loverman Above Average Intelligence. Because I don't know if we can still keep the genius moniker when you're talking to the film crew about wanting to bang the 12-year-old.
Life
Maybe
is
you get
hard.
Downgraded to just above average. We'll start calling you sharp. But genius?
Well, it's not a 12-year-old.
That's right.
It's an 18-year-old.
Norm's right.
It's an imaginary person.
Keep fighting the good fight, Norm.
But that person is imaginary. 12. If I told you I was 10 years old and you said you want to have sex with me,
I agree with Norm 1,000%.
Norm, seriously.
No, look, first off, I do.
She says she's 12 online.
She's lying.
I do agree. It is a weird thing that we have been humping teenage girls for since the dawn of time, and now we're asking everyone to knock it off.
Is that what you mean, Norm?
Well, that's what Adam's saying.
Well, let's face it. You know, your grandpa, before he told the war commission he was 18 and sailed off to Europe to fight in WW2, he was 17 at the time.
Sure.
I'm sure he'd banged quite a few 13-year-olds before he shipped out. That's the
and
way.
And over there, I remember my dad telling me stories about, you know, you just bring over a chocolate bar and a pair,
sure.
of, pair of
stockings.
That's
yeah,
right.
A pair of support hose.
Tape that bar to your junk. Good eating. Point is,
no, I'm not saying you should have.
No, but
where do you put the stocking?
But I'm saying that now it's completely imaginary.
Sticky bomb.
There's not even a person that's 13 in this whole thing.
Yeah. Norm's right. Norm MacDonald's
don't
right.
Don't you need a physical victim for a crime?
But these predators intended to have sex with a 12-year-old.
Don't dignify this right, with an answer, T.
Know,
let's just keep going.
Okay, let's talk about Ice Truck Killer 103.
Ice Truck Killer. I saw him on HBO.
Yeah.
He's Mr. One of the, Softy.
That's mm-hmm. right. He's one of the many people who now recognize Chris Hansen.
You're Chris Hansen?
I am. Have you seen this show? You have seen it?
I thought you were real funny on Opie and Anthony.
Oh, you listen to me on Opie and Anthony?
He's a fan.
Here's what my voice... Here's what I'd be. If I walked through that and I saw Chris Hansen come through the curtain, I'd be like... Please, God, tell me this is your house. Please, God, tell me I'm trying to F your daughter. Is this your house? Because if this is not your house, there's a camera that's going to be coming through that curtain.
Would you like to hear Hansen get heated?
It almost sounds like jokes now with the guy with the pizza and the guy saying, I like you on Opie and Anthony. You know what I mean?
I know. It has become almost surreal.
Yes.
Here Hansen gets very angry at a 27-year-old named Malik Washington.
Mm. All right, so you asked me all these questions. Who are you?
I'll get to that in a minute.
Oh, you're going to arrest me because... Really, to tell you the truth, I was not going to do anything with her. Like,
you sat out here for a good 10 minutes, and you had the opportunity to tell her face-to-face that you really didn't want to do anything. And that's not what you said, is it, Malik?
Yes, I did. I
said, no, you didn't. You said we can start first by talking before we have sex.
No,
and you told her that you brought the porn.
Because, like, I ain't came out here to rape her, kill her, or anything. I'm not a bad person.
Well, you know what? But having sex with a 12-year-old, even if she says yes, is considered rape because a 12-year-old, by the law, cannot consent to having sex. Do you get that?
Not if Norm MacDonald had anything to say about it.
Well, if he spoke to her in person, then he's speaking to an 18-year-old.
She looks like a child, and she says she's a 12.
Norm's Canadian. Wait, it's a totally different thing over there.
Are you allowed to have sex with an 18-year-old that tells you she's 12?
Well, wow. Technically, it's against the law, and technically, you can still get into trouble. But I do always wonder about that when let's not make her 12, let's just make her 15, and she says, I'm 18, and you go, wow, you're hot, and you have sex, and then you get arrested.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's your fault.
You used to have 15-year-old girls telling you they were 18, now you have 18-year-old girls telling they're 15.
What the hell's going on with this world? Yeah.
Norm, I feel like this is hitting close to home.
No, I'm just... I want Ron Jeremy's take on this whole thing.
Well, we have him. It's not often you could just call for Ron Jeremy and he's in the next room.
Well, we'll have him shine his light
on
this one.
Who was
on
the famous underage girl that was in pornography?
Tracy Lords?
Yes. Tracy Lords, yeah.
Yeah.
Ron probably had sex with
her. He probably has. Sure. Should we hear one last clip from last night?
Sure.
Okay. Occasionally, and Norm, you alluded to this, but occasionally you find yourself feeling a little bit sorry for the predators.
Yes.
And it's, you know, you're conflicted because they're sexual predators.
Norm's not conflicted. Norm's a huge fan of the predators.
I'm not a fan. I'm saying, even you always feel sorry for people that are sick.
Thank you. Yeah. Very well
put. It's a disease.
Yeah. Yes. And they're...
Interesting. Yes.
Let's suppose that all you wanted to have sex with was children, right?
Yes. Right.
Well, what are you going to do? It's like if all
Become
of a sudden
a
tomorrow,
scout,
if you're a heterosexual and tomorrow they outlawed having sex with adult females.
Mm-hmm.
What would you end up doing? You'd end up having sex with an adult female.
This is my argument for when you lock these guys up. It's like, Norm, I love women. You love computer gambling.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love women that are of age.
So they lock, okay, Norm.
Just to make it clear.
Norm, Norm. Of age means 11 and above for Norm MacDonald. He's Canadian. The point is you love heterosexual women of age, right?
Yes, yes.
All right, so if they locked you up for 5 years, what would be the first thing you'd want to do when they let you out?
Have sex with one.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
What
if you have a hankering for 8-year-old boys and they lock you up for 10 years,
right?
What do you want to do for the 10 years you're locked up? That's it.
Yes.
I would argue it's a stronger impulse in a certain sense. In that it's more devious in a certain way.
It's forbidden.
I'm saying the guy.
If they just made it legal.
The guy who thinks it's a good idea to have sex with 8-year-old boys is more into it than me and Norm are with heterosexual women of age. It runs deeper for that cat.
It's maybe more
harder
of a
compulsion. To wash out. Yes.
Yeah. Well, this guy, lover boy 212X.
Mm-hmm.
That guy sounds hot.
He
sounds
really
like a
does.
Rocket ship.
Malik, he had to take a train and then he had to walk 2.5 miles mm-hmm. to get to the decoy. And here's what happens when Hanson busts him.
Apparently, Loverboy starts thinking about the long walk back to the train station.
You leave the beach.
Can you give me a ride home? Because I want to walk back.
I can't give you a ride.
I had to walk back?
Well, that's up to you. I'm not in a position to give you a ride, though.
Can you, is there any way you can give me a cab?
I'm not going to be able to do that.
This person's clearly developmentally disabled in some way.
Or he just has huevos bigger than Montana.
It was like,
talk about a sense of entitlement.
Yeah,
I come halfway across town
being a racist.
Yeah,
or overt racist.
What? How we don't know that Malik Loverboy 69 Space Jam is in fact a man of color, Norm? How dare you?
Oh, maybe I'm racist.
I'd say so.
It's either me or Chris Hansen.
Go ahead and add that to your big pile of is.
Well, I don't know. The guy comes in and goes, "Well, hello there, Mr. Hansen." I mean,
that's what you heard in your head. You Canuck who thinks it's a good idea to have sex with 12-year-olds and every guy.
Look,
I know thousands of white guys named Malik.
Malik Washington.
Washington.
His name.
How dare you?
Oh, we have one last clip.
All right, let's hear it.
Now, the problem with all that is that I know that you were chatting online with a girl who said she was 13.
13! She said she was 12! I'll kill that lion bitch!
She gave you directions to come over here.
She tried, but the Jackman doesn't need directions. My compass is always pointing north. Although now that I see you here, it's a little more like South by Southwest.
Then I show him these pictures he sent. Naked pictures.
Oh, yeah, I remember taking those.
Is that you, these pictures there?
Look at that. Mighty, slightly curved, majestic.
Then I remind him what he told the girl who said she was 13. And you say, sleep on your back and open them wide open. What did you mean?
What do you think I meant? We've been over this before. Jackman's been very clear. I have a huge unit. Jackman is hung like a paint can. A splotchy, dented, rusted paint can. That, from time to time, needs to be shaken vigorously by a Mexican down at the Home Depot.
Before you do that, I need to tell you something. I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
I know! Hansen, we have had this conversation no fewer than 7 times in the last 2 months. You guys keep using me on your little program. I'm going to start demanding residuals. You'll be hearing from my agent. Okay.
Wow, I didn't know that.
He's been busted on every To Catch a Predator so far.
And again, I want to...
Well, that comedy piece brings up a
comedy.
It brings up a good point. You could defense for this whole thing could be when I was on the computer doing this, I assumed it was for your TV show. I wanted to appear on TV. That's why I'm here.
Yeah. Right,
I'm an actor.
I'm just trying to get a SAG card out of
it. Exactly. Sure. That guy sounds hot.
I got to appreciate Norm MacDonald taking pro underage sex.
No. And I want to defend our guest, too, by saying there's no way anyone could have known that Malik Washington, screen name Grape Soda Scarface 69. There's no way that anyone could know that he was black.
Please refrain from using ethnic slurs.
We need to take ourselves a quick break. Norm, you want to hang out for the news?
Yeah.
Perhaps you could rethink your stance on pedophilia.
That guy sounds hot.
Anyone can come out against pedophilia. It takes a big man to come out pro.
He's a comedian. He's from Canada. He's probably drunk.
I think they're ill, and I feel sorry for them.
Sure. You can tell them face-to-face when you guys have your party this weekend.
I feel sorry for them more than the imaginary victim that doesn't exist.
There you go. Helped you out of the hole, and then you jumped right back in. Take a quick break. Back with Norm now.
Tomorrow morning on the Adam Carolla Show, one for all the deadheads. Oswaldo sings the greatest hits from the Grateful Dead.
It's Oswaldo, Nicaraguan name Tatum.
And if you can figure out what he's saying, you'll win tickets to see Bob Weir and Rat Dog.
I will get by.
Nicaraguan Name That Tune with the Grateful Dead.
You can win tickets to see Bob Weir and Rat Dog.
Tomorrow morning on the Adam Carolla Show.
It's bueno.
Bonaducci back in studio. Norm MacDonald still in studio. Ron, Jeremy, and Dennis, who Dennis Hoff from the Bunny Ranch, who I always call Jack, and I'm not doing it as a joke.
Because his last name is Hoff?
Yeah, I was thinking of Jack Hoff from the Bunny Ranch.
That guy sounds hot.
He's a kid, man.
He does sound hot.
All right, let's do the news, T.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Kira Sedgwick and John Cryer were given the task of announcing the Emmy nominations early this morning. Let's hear who's nominated today for Outstanding Drama Series.
The nominations in the drama series category are Boston Legal, Grey's Anatomy, Heroes, House, The Sopranos.
Mm-hmm. The Sopranos is from HBO. They lead all the networks with 86 nominations, followed by NBC with 69.
Wait, how can HBO get an Emmy? They're not even TV.
Yeah, it's a good point. They're HBO. Yeah.
We're not Thank TV. You for We're that. HBO, very nice, Norm.
The comedy series, another offering from HBO, Entourage. And also The Office, 30 Rock, Two and a Half Men, and Ugly Betty.
Danny, you're like Norm's comedy muse, because he was in here for like an hour and a half just talking about how much you love 12-year-olds.
Yeah, I know.
That was really weird. And then all of a sudden you come in and pow, comes out with this zinger.
Well, he was telling me I was actually in one of his first jokes.
Yeah. Oh, you were?
Yeah.
You
when
tell
I was
it?
Starting stand-up. I remember quite how it went, but I was like, remember that Partridge Family? Because the theme song said, but the band never got rock until Mom joined the line.
Right.
And I was like, that was a bad stand-up. But I was like, but go see me at Brea. But, but then I go, yeah, that's when a band really gets good, when the mom joins. Remember when old lady Townsend joined the Who?
That's when it really started rocking.
Old lady Jagger joined the Stones.
Yeah. I'm honored, man.
It's a good joke.
Yeah.
Norm, would you like to hear some international news?
Here's a war, here a song, tari sangin, tamange happy.
This out of New Zealand, where prostitution has been legal since 2003.
Mm-hmm.
Soon, young women in New Zealand may be able to go to college and major in prostitution. This is not a joke. Right now, the parliament in that country is debating whether or not it should offer funding to colleges and vocational schools who offer classes in prostitution.
They just do this to F with us.
Yeah.
They're saying it seems likely to go.
You hear these stories every once in a while, like, Dateline, the Netherlands, they're now going to make it illegal not to smoke pot in the Netherlands. And they do that, so we go, what? What is going on over there? They're just effing with us. And it's to make all the stoners and guys who like prostitutes super jealous.
Yeah, right.
I have an honorary PhD in John.
This chick minored in handies. The government requires you to eat pot brownies, and we're living here under Bush. Dude.
Gets Bill Maher all worked up.
Yeah, Bill Maher's spidey sense. It's going off like a pinball machine. Like, God, I got to get out there.
From Bush to Fire Crotch, I've got a story about Lindsay Lohan.
Right on. Nice.
Now, you remember she was recently in rehab for 45 days.
Mm-hmm.
The Star tabloid is claiming that she wasn't exactly drug-free while she was in there. Now, Danny.
No.
What kind of mood-altering substances can you get inside of a rehab?
What you can get, if you can get anything you want in jail, you can get anything you want in rehab. They just UA you a lot. They're going to show it. It's going to show up.
The urine analysis.
Right. Yeah.
Unless you're really, really good. I'm really, really good. But she's an idiot.
Well,
but my roommate at one of the rehabs I went to, he would just every now and again start staring at his hands, start screaming, get the bugs off me. And then we realized the stamps on his letter were soaked in acid.
Well, there's one way. Now, here's what Star Magazine is claiming Lindsay did. Claiming she did whippets, which are little canisters of nitrous oxide that are used to make whipped cream, and also taking cold medicine and mixing the two for an intense high. Apparently, according to Star, she was getting the whippets from a guy who was an outpatient at the clinic. He was smuggling them in when he'd come back for meetings.
Well, whippets, not easy to smuggle because they're big and they're noisy and they're little metal canisters. And then the high lasts all of 8 seconds.
Right.
Not that I ever did it in high school many times.
If you mix the whippets with cold medicine, I guess it's a more intense.
But well, mix anything with enough cold medicine, I got some cold medicine and they'll put you in a coma.
Does a UA find cold medicine?
Yeah, sure.
Unless they're talking about the dog, the whippet.
Maybe they
catch a buzz off one of those whipping dogs for like 6 months.
Well, you get a huge buzz just watching those dogs fight to the death.
Right. Yeah, that we've all got one. Apparently, I was thinking the B-52 song.
Yeah,
or Devo rather.
Right, whip it.
Whip it good.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's also a rumor that because she has that ankle monitoring alcohol detecting device that, you know, she hasn't been drinking, but there's a rumor that she's been using ecstasy to get around.
Well, let me just give one last heads up to modern society, whether it's Stamos having a couple Ambien and a few beers on Australian TV or Lindsay Lohan being high. They're not commercial airplane pilots. They're not driving school buses. They're actors, comedians, or whatever. Most performing is done high. I want to speak to the civilian populace for a second. You know when you sing karaoke? That's you performing. Now, how drunk are you when you do that?
Right.
You want to get high to get up on stage. You have to get drunk. What happens is you go to the party and you sit there sober for 4 hours watching drunk people singing Bon Jovi, and then eventually you drink enough and you go up on stage.
That's all we do.
Norm's going to be blasted out of his mind tonight.
Go see Norm blasted out of his mind. Meanwhile, I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Tomorrow's news today. Teresa Strasser.
We need to take. That's me drunk singing Vehicle by the Ides of March. Norm's going to be loaded out of his mind tonight over at the Bray Improv. That's the way it works.
I've been high for the last 4 months.
Yes, the performers are supposed to be effed up. It's the big deal. Stop judging. Norm MacDonald, Bray Improv.
That guy sounds hot.
What?
He does sound hot.
Tonight through Sunday, God bless you, Norm.
Oh,
get
man.
Some sleep before you hit the stage tonight.
Yeah, I am going to.
You can go to improv.com if you like, or goldenpalace.com if you want to play against Norm in about 15 minutes when he gets home. We'll take ourselves a quick break. Dennis Hoff and Ron Jeremy. The gentleman's
hot.
Gentleman's gentleman. Ron Jeremy. Next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show.
I'm ready.
And now from two of the best little whorehouses in Nevada, Dennis Hoff and his ladies from the Bunny Ranch on the Adam Carolla Show.
Great to see you, Jack.
Hey, Brooke. Glad to be here.
You know, Dennis.
Adam, I got to tell you, yesterday we went to the adult show with adult toy manufacturers. Mm-hmm. So I brought you guys a bunch of stuff from Pipe Dreams.
Oh, bitchin'.
But we're in the car for like an hour, and then we're in the limo going over to Chelsea Handler's TV show because we did it last night. Right. Like Brooke and I did, right?
Brooke is the beautiful gal from the ranch that you brought with you.
She's spectacular, isn't she?
There she is. That's right.
And anyway, we listened to the show.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are hilarious. That deal with Chris Hansen? Oh, I was dying.
Well, thank you.
You guys were hilarious. Ron, it was just the best.
Ron Jeremy, thank you, Dennis. Ron Jeremy also in studio. Ron, have you ever gotten your filthy paws on Brooke, by the way?
Oh, you had to phrase it like that?
No.
No, my manicured, perfectly clean paws have never been on Brooke.
The only reason I date her is because she's the only girl in the adult business that has not been with Ron.
Oh, that hurt. That's just politically
actually,
incorrect.
Actually, we were wondering if you'd ever been with Tracy Lord.
Yeah, of course, a couple of times. But that was way back, you know, when, you know, we thought she was she was actually just before 18. So I was with her when she was late in the career, before the big news came that, every tape has to be yanked off the show.
You were with her when she was 17, weren't you?
Oh, you guys are killing
me. That's right, Brooke. You're damn right. You're standing next to a predator.
Listen,
you have the dignity not to touch him.
Thank you very much for that.
Show me your ankle bracelet.
I'm going to give a quote from the Partridge Family. Love does not ask to see your ID. There's no way. That was actually in a Partridge Family episode.
That was the Brady Bunch.
The one when you were at the amusement park. The point is...
Oh, my God, you're right, you weird sick freak.
What does love have to do with sex?
Yes.
What does love have to do with it? That's an entirely different song, Brooke.
Well, you know, what
a different amusement park.
What I've done today is I brought you guys all booty passes from the Bunny Ranch just to keep in your pocket, Danny.
Thank God.
I know you're going through some things.
Going through a divorce, dude.
Well, dude, I've got a booty pass that I'm going to give you to put in your pocket. And pass that down
thank
to Adams.
You. Wow,
we got one for
really
Danny.
Sweet.
Cat House on HBO,
I got you one,
by the way.
Thank you. What do
you
get a lot of female visitors?
Well, yeah, a lot. In fact, Brooke last weekend had like three couples on one day.
Yeah, and I'm starting to now get women that come in by themselves, even without their husband, just single women who want to try it out.
Mm-hmm. Here's the best thing. About 3 or 4 weeks ago, she had a mother bring in twin sons to lose their virginity.
Did deflower them?
Yep.
Wow. 8 and 9 years old? Oh. No.
No, you have to be 18.
Have to be 18. Now, how does that work? Do you make appointments? Can you do it online?
Well, you go to bunnyranch.com or you just show up 24 hours a day. There's 30 or 40, 50 girls working.
Now, what if you want to be with Brooke specifically? How does that work?
Online typically is an online appointment, or they would call the Bunny Ranch and talk to her and set up a time.
Mm-hmm. So you have to book Brooke, otherwise Ron's going to be on top of Brooke when you show
up. Like flies on bees.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. For the right price, Ronnie can. Brooke,
do you do a lot of virgins? Is that a big part of your work?
Yeah, we do a lot of virgins.
Sounds like $1,000 a minute.
A lot of couples. That would be nice. But, there's a lot of virgins that come in. You know, it's a safe place. It's a good place to learn about women and how to please a woman. And especially for the men that are older and didn't get to deflower themselves in high school when the girls were learning, too. You know, you have a man who's 40 years old and doesn't know what he's doing.
Right.
He wants to learn quickly, you know. So it's like the fast track.
Is there a rate? Does the rate change? You say you had women in there. You've had guys in there. Is there a different rate? Is there a different rate if Teresa walked in versus Ron Jeremy? I gotta imagine it'd be a little hazardous duty pay with Jeremy.
Do me a favor. Let's go with me and Teresa.
There is a different rate.
Teresa and I are two civilians. If we walk in, is there a different price for Teresa than for myself?
No, you know, what we do is we base it on activity, time. It's all negotiable, so it really depends.
Kink.
Yeah, how kinky you want to get,
so if you want
how
something,
many other girls you want. So it's really an individual basis.
If you want something extra weird, it's going to cost you a few extra bucks.
Yeah. What's the most expensive party, and what weird thing did you have to do?
My most expensive party wasn't really weird, because men will pay more for companionship than they will for sex. So my most expensive party was around like $35,000.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very little like physical contact. It was more companionship and going out. The weirdest thing I've done, I don't know, the weirdest thing I've done recently is I got to beat a guy up.
Yeah?
How bad?
Real bad.
Enough that they made me stop. Dennis made me stop beating him.
Danny, this guy.
I have muscles.
She handcuffed him to a strip pole in the parlor of the Bunny Ranch and beat him with whips. I've got a paddle in here. Beat him with everything. Ropes tied up.
He wanted a 2x4. They wouldn't let me.
He was begging for her to go out to his car and get a 2x4.
Yeah.
Would you hit him with a 2x4?
Of course.
Brooke, you are so hot to be such a crazy bitch. Jesus Christ.
I mean, everyone has aggression, and it needs to get out sometimes.
Let me
and if
see
someone's
going
to pay me to do it, then yes, I will gladly do
Adam,
it.
Adam, would you ever want to be beaten by a hot girl like Brooke?
No.
I'd be beaten by her boyfriend to get to her.
You wouldn't do bodily damage.
I'm more in the straight sex, but I wouldn't want to mess with Brooke because I'm guessing she has a couple little energy saved up for stepdad, who probably should be going that direction. But he's been in the ground for 3 years, so now you're getting it with the 2x4. Yes.
No.
Would you break a bone?
No, I've never had any issues. I actually only have one father. He's my real father, and he's still living, and he's just fine.
But if I chained him to a pole, you beat the crap out of him.
He wanted it. He paid me for it, and I'm sorry, but I don't know any other woman. I was in a crabby mood that morning. I mean, it was great. Yeah,
cramps.
You want me to hit you? Sure. Mm-hmm. You're gonna pay me $5,000 to do it? Even better.
$5,000 to beat a man?
Yeah, that's what he wanted. I would have if he wanted loving and me to caress him and give him a massage, I would have done that.
You would have done that.
But that's what he wanted.
Well, Ron Jeremy in studio, by the way, the king of all the porn stars. He now has
Ron Jeremy beef jerky.
The record. He's still working.
Jeremy wind-up toy.
You're still working, are you not, Ron?
Yes, I am, for a company called Metro.
And how many films a year do you do?
Not that much like I used to. I've done about close to 2,000 in my career, which now is 1 year short of 30.
And you do a couple of films a year?
Yeah, and a couple of mainstream films a year.
And a little legitimate work. Dennis Hoff from the Bunny Ranch. Yes, Dennis.
We're handing around toys here. It'd be interesting how you would explain them and still keep your license. But some great stuff we picked up
here. I've got the... I sure don't have that by name. This thing that looks like a rather large...
What about the wind-up toy? Explain the wind-up toy.
Well, the wind-up toy is Ron Jeremy doing what Ron Jeremy is famous for, performing a certain act on himself.
How about the beef jerky?
Well, that's great,
because
my kid's 2 years. That's two-year birthday's coming up.
But I'm going to Atlanta right after the show with my new girlfriend. Can I carry this on safely?
Yes.
Or they freak out?
No,
yes,
no, you can.
Can.
Go, you can.
You can. You can.
I loaded up a whole case full of them once.
Yeah.
But it looks like a giant missile.
Look, you got to have sex toys.
Hey, Danny, you've heard of Carry On? This is Carry In. Little twist.
Nice. Thank you.
We need to take ourselves a break. The Cat House, Season 2, HBO.
Can I say one?
Honest We Speak. Ron Jeremy, yes?
One film coming out. It's National Lampoon's Homo Erectus. It's a caveman comedy. Comes out in September, October with Dave Carradine, Adam Rifkin, Ali Lauder. It's National Lampoon.
Good names.
Caveman comedy.
And Ron Jeremy. We'll take a quick break. Back after this. Well, we're plumb out of time. I want to thank Jack Off from the Bunny. Dennis Hoff.
Thank you,
from Bunny Ranch. Ron Jeremy, who will probably be getting laid sometime in the next 15 to 20 minutes.
Thank you. I'm going to put you right behind me.
Actually, we're going across the street. We're going to meet Good Morning America. They want us to be on the show. We're going to meet at IHOP. You guys should go with us. We'll get us all on.
Oh, the terrorists are right. All right. And beautiful Brooke from the Bunny Ranch. Danny, you got a quick plug?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. And I'd like to tell you about Comic-Con.
I said quick, not but.
Let's see. If you want to go to Comic-Con with me in San Diego, all you got to do if you want to check out all the new series coming out on NBC and the VIP seats, Heroes, Journeyman Chuck, and the all-new Bionic Woman, just go to 971freefm.com, click on Danny's Comic-Con Fantasy Getaway, and pray that you win. I will pick the winner live on the air Friday morning, so you can be sure listening to the Adam Carolla Show. And remember, this is all fueled by NBC.com and 97.1 Free FM, Southern California's FM talk station.
I want to thank John Leguizamo.
Yeah, for you, man. Mind your business.
Killpoint, Norm MacDonald.
That guy sounds hot.
Can we thank Brooke?
Peter Sun, Brooke, Dennis Hoff, Ron Jeremy.
No, but
and until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
You're telling me you do not have Bonaducci's bagels on the list?
I definitely do not have Bonaducci's bagels on the list. Sorry.